Arson! Fire! Arson! Fire! Arson! Fire!
New fire stick. It's a Red Hot Pepper Army.
Hi, everyone. This is WTF at TFW, your TFW2005.com Transformers podcast, all about Transformers in an audio format. I am your host, Vangelis. I am joined today by Gog Dog.
Hey, everybody.
And we are joined today also by Seth Buzzard.
Records.
Is it called being sick for a while?
It's like I had this savage allergy attack on last Friday, and then that opened me up to like this kind of sinus infection-y sort of a situation. And then on Monday, my voice was rough. Oh no, not Monday, because that's when we recorded the Autumn movie thing.
Yeah.
Tuesday my voice was rough, then yesterday I could barely talk at all. And today is a little better, but no. You should have heard me yesterday. It was something.
I love Transformers. They're the best thing.
And you can also.
Are you trying to imitate Dark of the Moon Shockwave?
I am.
I meant Seth.
Oh.
say Optimus really slow. Let's see.
Oh. I was going to say, to start off, we can assure you that you have no reason to worry about Dark of the Moon spoilers this episode, because we talked the hell out of Dark of the Moon earlier this week. And for the sake of keeping a sane podcast together, I won't even bring up the amazing rumor that Jason Statham might be the new Shia LaBeouf.
That was going to be my new pick.
What, the picture of Jason Statham?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about Jason Statham in the movie.
All right.
Or being in the movie and how... Because I was all set up, like, he was going to, instead of, like, having the human character hang out with Bumblebee all the time, to kind of bring Prime more to the front, you have Jason Statham hanging out. Because Jason Statham's not going to hang out with Bumblebee, are you kidding me? He's going to hang out with Prime. And then they'll just be, like, at the Nest headquarters or something, and Statham will, like, come out of a room.
Hey, Optimus with, like, Prime!
With, like, all kinds of guns slung over his shoulders and whatnot, and snapping a clip
into place. We're going to go end some Decepticons.
Yeah, and he'll just, like, snap a clip into place. And this is, like, the opening moments of the movie. Snap a clip into place and be like, Prime, think it's about time to get some killing done. And then Prime goes, roll out. And then, like, the credits happen. The opening credit title.
I think in the Statham version, they're going to replace Prime's flames with lightning bolts.
I would like to see Jason Statham as a Power Master. I just want to say that I think it would be the best thing ever if they try to insinuate that Jason Statham is an older Shia LaBeouf. Because I would buy that.
That
right away.
Would be... Wow, I never even considered that.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they just try to present that as being Sam in a few years? Shia LaBeouf just grows up to be Jason Statham. He gains a British accent because he's been with Carly for so long. He loses all his hair. If you want to new pick the Jason Statham thing, you can. But
the whole reason for picking that was to do the time for some killing gag, but
we can just do it again when we
No, that would be silly.
Run it rehearsed.
Although I do think this vocal issue probably helps my Jason Statham impression.
I think so too.
Yeah, you're in a perfect position to do some Jason Statham parody audio. He's got to shave your head.
Yeah, they talked about that rumor on the Screen Door podcast, and they decided that they want the director I can't remember the name.
Crank.
Yeah, they want the Crank director to do it too. And have Jason Statham be a Transformer. And he has to just constantly be transforming the entire movie, otherwise he dies.
I would enjoy that. But I mean, I enjoy Jason Statham in pretty much anything he's in, especially when he doesn't like the movie he's in, like in Dungeon Siege. It's really fun to watch Jason Statham's face because he just looks really upset for the whole movie. A lot of the actors in Dungeon Siege look pretty upset for the whole movie. But that aside, let's go into some Transformers topics that are outside of the realm of Jason Statham. Hopefully, you know, next year we'll have a full year of Jason Statham coverage to tell you about as perhaps another movie approaches. But
I mean, really, is anything outside the realm of Jason Statham?
I don't really know. I'm pretty sure that once he sets his feet down in the Transformers world, he's going to be a new co-host on this podcast. Not that I'd be opposed.
You wouldn't dare oppose.
No, I mean, hey, Jason Statham, I don't think you should be on this podcast. It's like, oh no, wait. Halfway through that sentence, I died because he killed me.
Yeah, he drop kicked you.
Out the window on the ground floor. And I still died from the fall. let's talk about the TFCon exclusive. This popped up. We know what it looks like now. It's the Head Robot's stronghold. Copies of the toy are now in hand for a few people, and it's advanced copies, so the sticker sheet's not complete yet, but you can see the intended result. It's basically the Hothead kit applied to Universe Onslaught with some stickerage to make him a bit more Cerebrosy or Fort Maxi. And there's one thing on this that I think would really help it out, which I'm going to try to do on my own, because I got a spare Onslaught for this, is all those like olive kind of bronze yellow patches on Onslaught. If those are repainted silver, I think it could do a whole lot to really help out the look, because that would cool the figure down and make the silver and blue on the shoulder pads carry down through more of the toy, I think. It would also be a really easy repaint to do, because you just paint on top of any existing patch that is that color. But I kind of dig it. I in what we got this week, I'll talk about how I just finally popped open my own Hothead, and I got some hands-on with this mold, and it's a pretty cool mold, so I think it's neat, but I don't know. Gog, what do you think of Stronghold?
He looks pretty good. I'd say as far as just straight-up an upgrade kit with new head and weapons and stickers and stuff, certainly hearing about this, like saying, like, oh, did you see that new kit? Like, no, not really. But actually seeing it after hearing about it, it certainly looks a lot better than I expected. Yeah, I think it looks good. I have an Onslaught, and I would certainly, I think, leave him in this mode versus the regular Onslaught mode, to be honest.
I can tell you, like, that Head Robot's head fills out a whole lot more than the Onslaught. Like, the Onslaught head's a bit of a pin. But the Head Robot's head's a nice big kind of like bulbous, I don't know. The proportions on it are really nice. I think the only little problem I have with the actual stickers is I think that red patch for the C-114 is a little bit too blazing, but that's just the effect red has, I think, on top of any muted color scheme. I don't know. Seth, have you checked out this photo that I totally sent to the Skype call?
Yeah, and I saw the news story this morning, but I didn't have, like, it was right before I had to leave for work, and then, like, we got going on this as soon as I got home, so I never had a chance to really investigate it. So let me ask some questions. So apparently it's just new head, new weapons stickers.
Yep.
That you apply to the existing toy. Do they give you that toy at TFCon, or is it up to you to
It's up to you to get an Onslaught.
Okay, so you're getting, so at the con, you're getting the stickers, the head, the guns.
Yep, they are all pretty much, it's pretty much the Head Robot's packaging with a sticker sheet added into the card, pretty much.
Okay, I was unsure on what you actually got.
Yeah, you just get the Head Robot stuff, so it's not a full-on figure, it's kind of like, it's an add-on again, kind of like the Powered Commander, and in this case it's an add-on where it's kind of like, this is to sort of kickstart you on a pretty neat little custom idea if you want to take it farther than just putting the stickers on.
Yeah. But, well, one thing I give TFCon credit for with their exclusives is they at least try to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it looks fine. I mean, it looks all right. I mean, it looks cool. If I was really into that character, I'd be more excited than I probably am. But
yeah.
But it's an obscure character, which is also part of the TFCon thing. Like, they're not afraid to go obscure like that and try something different. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's cool. And, you know, they've done cool stuff. Like, that was pretty amazing when they had that armor upgrade kit a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then turned out the mold was garbage, but using that RC mold last year was, again, like, you know, they're really putting it out there, giving it a try.
As an idea, it was great. But yeah, it was a shame that the mold itself kind of just had some issues on the base level. And I heard, like, I forgot all the reports now. I heard actually the Nightbird version was the most solid version of them all. Apparently the RC one was a lot worse off.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, so, you know, you have to give them credit for being imaginative and different.
Yeah, and it definitely is also a case that, you know, if this is at all on par with Hothead, then it's going to be of better construction quality than Nightbird was, just inherently. So that always helps too. But yeah, TFCon registration is still open. I think there's a non-attendee option, but you're probably better off asking attendees to try to pick one up for you. And it should be pretty cool. I didn't catch clearly. I think it's been stated somewhere that there's a chance this thing might be, or something like this might be released elsewhere without the sticker sheet, but I'm not sure if they just meant that the Head Robot's existing kit is available without a sticker sheet. I didn't get that totally straight, but the sticker sheet really does help. You know, check it out. Moving on from there, let's do some new picture pick out picks. Gog Dog, what's the picture you'd like to talk about?
I had a couple things I wanted to say. I will say, we're not really going to talk about movie stuff, I imagine, on this episode, but everyone needs to go to Josh Nizzi's website, yes, joshnizzi.com, and click on the banner that says Transformers and look at his Transformers concept art, because I think a lot of people would be surprised of the look of certain things, where their origins come from, it looks really cool. In fact, seeing certain things in the movie, even visually, which is most people don't have a problem with of the movie, regardless of how you feel, you just look at the concept art and you're just like, oh, wow. The concept art even makes the movie look like, wow, this movie, it could have looked like that. Like, and of course, that's what concept art's supposed to do. It's supposed to paint an entire scene for you in a still image. And I think in that aspect, Josh nailed it.
Well, that shot that you tweeted out with Igor and Megatron was gorgeous to look at.
Yeah. And it also totally, like, we talk about it in the Dark of the Moon podcast, but
yeah.
It totally hints on Igor's origins and that, but it's just really, really beautiful robot art. So even if you're not a fan of the movies, there's probably a good couple of good high-res images in there that you could appreciate regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I think I will. I had something else lined up. Sorry.
No worries.
we're getting started a little late tonight. I wanted to ask you a question, and we didn't get around to it before we started. So what was I going to ask you?
I could tell you all about the meaning of life, the history of Seattle's underground.
I know what it was. I'm sorry. I listened to 154 today, but I'm pretty sure nobody brought up the new images of Reveltech Prime, did they?
I think someone was going to. But I don't. I know we talked about him before. I just don't know if we brought up those newest.
There was like a single image, so that must have been what we talked about before, because we haven't even talked about it on the Odd Team at all.
No, and there's tons more images of it now.
But Yeah, I'm kind of... it kind of stinks that the Reveltechs have gone up so far in price, because I remember when Reveltech Convoy came out, like, back in 07? Oh, late 06 or 07, I can't remember. But him and the white version, Ultra Magnus, came out in the same month. And that's what introduced a lot of people in America to the Reveltech line. But this, I tell you, this Prime looks pretty cool. Just the even the amount of accessories and everything that he has, and he's got the energy swords and stuff, and of course the regular Reveltech levels of posability, and kind of looks insane. But it looks pretty cool. I kind of wish that the prices on these things haven't become so expensive. I mean, after shipping and everything, you're gonna be paying like over $40.
Yeah, and that really surprised me, because I didn't remember Reveltech's getting quite up that high. I mean, when I look at the figure and I see all the paintwork and whatnot, I can kind of see where the price could come from, but it's odd. I mean, sign of the times, I guess. And it's under Reveltech Sci-Fi as well, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, which makes the price a little bit more, but it's, I mean, man, all the sculpt and everything on it for what it is, it's really impressive looking, and I hope it looks as good in hand than it does in these pictures. And with Reveltech, they usually do.
Oh, definitely. But when I looked at that thing, the first thing I thought was, like, this is also a great low cost alternative to the dual model kit Prime, who looks amazing but is also running like twice the price.
I think that thing looks awesome. I think that thing looks really, really good. It's just, I can't justify dropping that amount of money on a Prime right now.
Yeah.
Just for personal reasons. It's like, if it was a little cheaper, I'd jump on that thing in a heartbeat. But I think, as me and you had talked about before, but not on the show, it's if they made a dual kit version of Megatron, yeah. I would be all over it, the Dark of the Moon version.
Well, I think that dual model kit thing, it definitely proved the concept. Like, when I say that I myself haven't ordered one yet because I really can't drop that much money right now on an Optimus Prime, it's not because I think it looks bad. I think it looks amazing, especially considering the photos I've seen of ones that had no work done on them except for just being built. It looks fantastic. I totally see where the money comes from. And especially for the size, too. It's about the size of a leader toy.
Yeah, and it's all pre-painted and stuff too, which is that's not a common thing with model kits. So
with the pinstripes even. So, you know, I got to give huge credit. And when I look at that, I also say to myself, like you said, like, if they do other characters in that line who aren't Optimus Prime, who I already have a whole lot of times over, like, I would definitely be up for a Megatron.
Yeah, and that's like even with the Reveltech here and the including the dual model kit stuff. That's the thing that. Like, there's so many, they're like everything that's getting the movie license, the thing that they do is Prime, and it's like, that's cool, but there's now 70 billion what else is new, but there's like 70 billion versions of Prime out there, and like, that's all well and good, but I'm sure that people like us are in the minority, and because other characters probably won't sell nearly as well, but
I'd love a Megatron and a Sentinel Prime myself.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I also need to find reviews of the Bumblebee, because there's a smaller scale price point in that, or not scale, but smaller size price point in that line too. And there are some movie characters, like if they did Barricade or Sideways or something like that, you know, to a level of quality similar, I would be all over those as well. Like, and I love Optimus Prime, and I love the Movieverse Prime for being crazy, but. I would be more interested in other movie bots other than Prime and Bumblebee to that caliber of quality.
For sure.
With this Reveltech Prime topic, I would like to know what Seth thinks about it.
I'm super into it. I put in a pre-order for it as soon as it was available on BBTS. And that was before they had the colored pictures. And now that Hobby Link Japan has it for pre-order, I have to research which one's actually going to be cheaper and either put in with Hobby Link and cancel my BBTS or stay on BBTS. But
so what do you think of the price? because it is, at least in my perspective, as we said before, for it's around $40 ish, and that's kind of heavy for Reveltech. But I know you've been collecting sci-fi Reveltechs before, so is it just kind of par of the course, or?
Well, it kind of. I want to say like new sci-fis are closer to 35 normally. But I don't know if that's the case for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, at BotCon, there was that guy that was selling a bunch of them for 35 each. And who knows, maybe this is the beginning of a price increase and 40 is going to be the way it is. But I think it wasn't it 3,000 yen on Hobby Link?
Something like that. Yeah, I haven't looked too deeply into it yet, so I don't remember the prices right off the top of my head. But
and then like their little quick converter, I think they were quoting it as 33 something.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure for a Reveltech Sci-Fi, if you don't mind slow shipping, you can get shipping probably as low as about $10.
Yeah, I mean, I have to look back at the Big Bad Toy Store, but I think it was probably around 55 or so. So yeah, I would probably switch over to pre-ordering from Hobby Link in this case.
Yeah.
And it would end up being faster because you order it from Big Bad, then you have to wait for them to get it from Japan and then ship it to you.
That is true.
So it just adds a step. But I think it looks great. I really like how the sword looks.
Mm-hmm.
How you have the option of putting it into his hand or replacing his hand with it. He comes with tons of guns that are all have holes and Reveltech joints, so you can assemble them in multiple ways. And
I think that was a smart gimmick.
Put them in multiple positions. And it could just be like all those guns and weapons have pushed the price, or maybe he's substantially larger than normal.
I'm wondering about also the amount of paintwork. Like if I don't now remember off the top of my head, but I like I said before, his appearance made me think of the dual model kit Prime, whose fit and finish is quite nicely done.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I'm really looking forward to it coming out.
Oh, excellent. Me too. I mean, even if I don't pick it up, I want to see what comes of this and if maybe they do any other ones. Regardless of this being another Optimus Prime, this is also another nice little precedent setter of the live-action movie Transformers being Reveltech-izable. And, you know, this happened with the quote-unquote anime Transformers. They did Optimus Prime and then, boom, went on and did a whole bunch of other Transformers after that. So this is one of those times where I'd say this could be really cool with a few more of them coming out.
Yeah, and something that seems to be fairly common with Reveltech is it seems like you're more likely to get two characters from a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's exceptions like Evangelion, where they're doing everything five times.
Yeah.
Or Fist of the North Star, where they're doing every character imaginable, but like with Lupin, they only did Lupin and Jenga, and they only did two Gameras, and then they redid those two Gameras in a different time frame. But then there were only two giant robo figures. There were only two, it was Gigantor in the U.S. I keep forgetting his Japanese name.
Oh, Tetsujin or whatever.
Yeah, Tetsujin. So it's not uncommon for them to do two of something, and then that's it. So I would be surprised if they don't do another movie Transformer, but I wouldn't expect them to do more than one.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, unfortunately, I am thinking that if they do one more, it's actually probably going to be Bumblebee, because I mean, For G1 Transformers, Optimus and Megatron is your first two. Absolutely logical. For the movies, it seems that Bumblebee and Prime actually tend to be the guys who get the first merch. And so that means that, you know, unless you play out one of your fantasies of what might happen in Transformers 4, they'll just be chilling out together as a duo, which is not a bad thing. But I Sentinel Prime would look cool in this scale. Ironhide would look cool in this style. Megatron would look cool in this style. There's a whole bunch of characters I think who could turn out quite well going off the way this one looks, and it'd be a bummer if they just limit it to Prime and Bumblebee. But I understand Reveltech also has a lot more on their menu than one film's cast. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm holding out hope, but sure, as much as GOG is, that they'll do Megatron if they do one more. But it would be a bummer if they did Bumblebee, because, like, with that model kit GOG was talking about, I mean, that's Prime and Bumblebee. So it'd be,
yeah.
It'd be a letdown if this was also Prime and Bumblebee.
It's like, in case you haven't bought enough Bumblebees yet, you know. Well, moving on from there, Seth, what would you like to talk about picture-wise?
Well, there's this third-party company, Make Toy. They're doing their own, not really Devastator, but, you know, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so they released some pictures. A clear picture of the combined form, but blurry pictures of the individual robots, which almost seems backwards.
Yeah.
To me, like, because that's the money shot, is the combined form. So I don't know how much anybody cares that much about the individuals.
Well, you know, there's some folks who want to know how much, what their full value will be to get out of it. And I agree. It's, I mean, I like that they showed the combined form right away, 'cause that is really the clincher. And the little robots, you know, from the blurry shots, there've already been tons of conjecture about things. And I mean, people already getting things confused. Like, there was one guy going on and on about how the cement truck, you know, clearly has a split cement canister for legs. And then when he showed the picture he's talking about, everyone else said, that actually looks more like the dump truck, dude. But, I don't know. It's a good decision overall, though, 'cause you're, at the end of the day, people want to have this combined. Like, I like individual robots more, but going off of the experience with that Bruticus, people care way more about that combined mode.
Yeah, and looking at the blurry pictures, I mean, they're blurry. The individual robots don't look particularly impressive, at least just in their silhouette. And I'm trying to find the one that they were confused to be the cement truck, because the way the pictures are laid out in the news story there on TFW, what would be the first blurry robot? I assumed right away, well, this is clearly the cement mixer.
So did I, but the one next to it is the one that someone thought was the cement mixer.
Okay, yeah.
And I agree with you, though, I think, because the other one has the hat that Mixmaster always has.
Yeah, like there was all that stuff above his head.
So yeah,
that seemed pretty clear. But I mean, just this unpainted prototype picture, I mean, it just looks like what you would imagine a modern Devastator to look like. Now, you don't see the face. You don't see the robot's face, at least in that picture.
Well, have you seen the one where it's standing next to the Fans Project Bruticus?
Yeah, I was just going to jump over that picture to see.
You can see a bit of its face.
Yeah, even then it's fairly obstructed. It doesn't look like the face is, it looks like it has a visor over its eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be Transformer Devastator accurate in that regard, I guess.
No, but for, but,
I mean, he has that wing chest.
And he's got, you know, he's got the construction pieces hanging off his shoulders in that certain way.
Yeah.
It's one of those times where it's like, if someone's going to go like, well, you know, I was going to pick this up, except for that head, I'd kind of go like, I guess you really value Devastator's face. Because it gets so many other things right. That's an odd thing to focus on. You know what I like about this comparison picture is that before this showed up, everyone was like, well, you know, this is probably going to be like maybe 6 inches tall. It looks like it's a lot shorter than the other one. And you see this picture and it's taller than the Bruticus combined form. And if anyone's ever held that in hand, you know that thing is not small.
No, I don't see anything about it in the write-up here, but you guys were kind of discussing it a little bit before we started recording about the price. Was there some talk about how much this is going to be?
Nothing stated so far. that I've seen. I haven't seen anything concrete. I think the big question people are talking about is, like, are these going to be sold like the TFC Hercules, in that are they going to release each robot individually, or are they going to release this all together? These robots clearly are not as big as the Hercules robots, because they seem much closer to being scout-sized robots, whereas the Hercules one are more like deluxes. So The big talk is that will this one be cheaper than the TFC one, which is the TFC one, well, by all accounts, looks like it's going to be $600 plus shipping at the end of the day. So,
yeah. I mean, I hope this is cheaper, because, like, there's a lot about the Hercules that's impressive, but there was just something about its whole style that just wasn't setting me off.
But yeah,
the style of the combined form in this is really setting me off.
Well, what I like about this combined form is it gives me the same vibes that the Bruticus it's standing next to gave me, which is not just looking like the robots combined in a way that reminds you of a cartoon, but it also has a good stance. It has a sense of weight to it. Its proportions are very nicely done. And that's what makes that Bruticus such a success. But, like, they widen the shoulders on that thing to give it those proportions. And this one has that similar thing going on. Big, wide shoulders, and it feels like it looks like a big, heavy robot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to find out more about it, like, especially price.
Yeah.
But, and then we'll see if they, you know, do it the green and purple that I'm sure most people would prefer.
Mm-hmm.
And not be like, oh, we're going to do the weird knockoff colored Rainbow Brutica or Rainbow Devastator. Because I have a set of that where it's like a black and green and orange, and like every piece is a different color.
Blues and purples and yellows. And
yeah, it's just, it's all
dog. We were talking about that, I think, in 154 when we were talking about Encore Devastator.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, if they released this in those crazy colors, I'd still probably pick it up.
Yeah, I have multiple knockoff Devastators in different colors.
Yeah.
And they're all disappointing. They all feel waxy. But that multicolored one actually has, like, chrome parts. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, this looks awesome.
Well, Gog, what do you think of this Make Toy? What are they calling it? Is this from their Build series? Are they just calling it the Giant? Yeah, the Giant from the Build series.
Depending on how this goes, it's gonna suck to be TFC right now.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel bad for them, but that's the way it goes when you want to release one piece at a time and expect someone to buy a $600 combiner, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all. If people are willing to pay that, and it seemed like there were a lot of people that were genuinely excited, but it was just a bad situation for them anyway, because I think, as we had talked about this before, like, basically there was a rumor that they were basically releasing it one piece at a time just so they could get the income to continue the project going.
Yeah, like, they couldn't afford to just manufacture enough pieces of six large toys.
Yeah, but the problem with that, and I didn't read into it very deeply, but apparently there was some concerns that scalpers were going to buy up individual pieces, because if you do have to... Obviously, anybody who's in this is going to be in it for the long haul. You're not going to buy a single TFC Hercules piece for a standalone figure for $100. You're not going to do that. You're in deep.
You're not going to drop $100 on X-Graver just because you love the way X-Graver looks.
Unless you're like TFW member moderator Hook. And you're a huge Hook fan.
I need every
Hook. And then you want to buy the Hercules Hook. Like, but unless you're something like that, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you're going to buy them all. And there was concern about people, like, I'm going to buy up all of these. Imagine the last piece. Like, you have five of them. And then people go in and just buy the crap out of the last one.
and then hoard it all.
And then you're stuck without one unless you want to go to eBay and pay $300. So
I definitely see that concern. Like if what was it? I think their Mixmaster is the last one they were going to do, whatever they're calling him, like Mix King or whatever. And then like that is a totally viable situation of, you know, this isn't like a subscription service with these ones. So that could happen. That's true.
So I think that another thing that these guys would want to do, especially if, I mean, it appears that this is going to be smaller than the Hercules. Depending on how much capital they got, they are going to be better off, I think, releasing this as a set.
I think they could, too, because the Hercules guys, that's why Hercules still has its own niche, because the Hercules robots are each individually bigger. So they to me seem like something that would be a threatening group just in their robot forms, and then they combine into this big thing as well. Whereas this one is, you know, it's scout sized, dude. So it's sized much better to fit in with, you know, your other classics combiner update guys. But a lot of people were saying, like, you know, and I said it too, you know, it sucks for TFC. But at the same time, this is the same sort of battle that happened with TFC's upcoming Reflector compared to the Perfect Effect one. It's kind of like TFC they have a very specific style they're going for, and they seem to be sticking with it, which is a very 2006 era style, like 2006 Cybertron classic sort of style. Personally, I will say the Make Toy one I find way more exciting, but
yeah, I really hope it's all in one also, just because, you know, waiting for them to come out one at a time is a huge bummer.
Yeah. Well, especially that schedule, because they posted the schedule, right? And Hercules isn't going to be done until next spring.
Yeah, and it's just, do you really want to wait, like, one a month, and then you can't even put it together for half a year?
It's a compromise, though, because if you're gonna be releasing a $600 combiner, I don't see...
No one's going to pay $600 up front.
Yeah, no one's going to. I don't see anybody. I mean, there's some people out there that could afford that, but most of the people who are into this stuff aren't going to be able to drop $600 on one, and then the shipping on top of that's probably going to be over $100. So,
yeah, well, I'm talking about the Make Toy one specifically. Like, assuming that it's going to be cheaper, I would much rather pay, you know, $200. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that ends up being $200. I would much rather pay $200 up front, or even $250 for the convenience of getting them all at the same time, than waiting 6 months to get them one piece at a time. Just because I don't have the patience for that crap.
Yeah,
it's just like because I don't necessarily want the individual robots. I want Devastator.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that come next spring, that's going to be when people say, which of these do I get? You know, provided they're both still available readily next spring, it's going to be, do you want Devastator or do you want the Constructicons? Because Devastator seems to be Make Toy, while the Constructicon seems to be TFC. Just from the current vantage point of us looking at blurry pictures of gray prototypes, anyway, that's where I'm coming from. It does look really cool, and I think the only thing now people are waiting for is for Make Toy to release something so we have a gauge of what their quality is, because they still haven't actually put anything out. They had stuff on display with Fans Project, which has pretty much, you know, made the logical conjecture that Fans Project has given these guys some help with something, but doesn't necessarily mean, if it is of the same quality as like the Crossfire stuff, it'll be great. But I do want to see what Make Toy's quality is first before I fully go in on, you know, everything. Very cool though. Hopefully this will be something we talk about for a couple more months to come. Speak for myself. I'd like to pick out the just posted Takara Tomy staff interview with two of the designers from Transformers United. Again, many thanks to Sydney Y for doing a lot of the translation on this stuff. Sydney Y is a trooper. Aaron Aroth also did a whole bunch of proofreading and revision, which really helps when you translate Japanese stuff to kind of localize it into something that's a little bit more easy to read. And again, always the British butcher Saul Fury, who's always kind of like Sydney Y's tag team partner on this stuff. This interview is very cool. I highly recommend you guys check it out. If you looked at it and you're like, oh, what's that interview going to be like? This interview is full of cool information. I'm just going to drop a few little ones here. Number one, the aesthetics of United, or, you know, Generations. They outright state that one of the primary things that entered into the aesthetics of this was the characterfulness of Animated, which is something I totally thought was the case. As well as details and stylings from the movie series, which I also totally thought was the case. So that was kind of cool. Also, there's a funny line in here about, you know how the United toys have different color schemes? Apparently, one of these guys, Yuki, was coming up for those ideas constantly as soon as they saw domestic releases. He'd see a picture of like a domestic version of a Generations toy and immediately say, I want this bit painted for the Japanese release. The whole tone of this interview is really cool because this is from a different perspective. This is from the Japanese end of things. So it's neat hearing how they talk about stuff like Generations and Prime and the Hasbro team and stuff like that. And also there's a really cool anecdote in here about, War for Cybertron Soundwave. They'd finished the toy and then they saw a clip of Soundwave in the game turning into the cassette player mode. When he plugs into that like, you know, when he went in the boss fight, basically. And right after they saw that, Shogo Hasui, another guy who works at Takara Tomy, apparently as he watched that, he started to contort the War for Cybertron toy on his desk into the cassette player mode. And they were like, if they'd had more time and had been aware of that being in the game, they actually could have built it into the toy. But apparently as it is, the toy was never actually built to do that. It's just a total happy coincidence that you can approximate one out of it, but they didn't know about it till it was too late. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, I mean, if in the game they based that radio mode off of what they had already modeled for Soundwave, then, you know, most of the parts would have already kind of been in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just probably a matter of getting what was in the toy as close to that as possible.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. But also Yuki says he would have liked to adjust it. But he also says they feel the same way about everything they make. Like they always, it sounds like they constantly see stuff where it's like, oh, I wish we could have done that when we were designing the toy. And they wish they could have done more War for Cybertron. They only had 4 ordered from them for Generations, and they seemed, at least Yuki seems to have really warmed up to them. Of course, they also list off their credits of which figures they did of the guys being interviewed and what their past work was. And another interesting thing that came out of here, I mean, I'm just pulling anecdotes out for the sake of brevity, but another interesting one was that Trax and Wheeljack being designed at the same time to be almost the same toy as 2 different characters. Wheeljack was actually designed first, and then after they made Wheeljack, Hasbro suggested or asked if they could take Wheeljack, rotate his legs, and make it into Trax. And then, for whatever reason, Trax ended up coming out way earlier than Wheeljack. So Wheeljack is actually the original version of that toy, which I didn't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because those legs don't look like they're supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but Wheeljack was done first. So, the more you know. They also, you know, there's a bit about the Junkions being able to ride each other. And they'd actually made 2 prototypes, one of which being a non-transforming bike, so they could have that ready to go right away. I think there was 2 more things in here I really wanted to bring up. One of them was that they talk a lot about the 3mm clip system, which is really cool. And apparently over at Takara Tomy, they've nicknamed those the Miyake joints, because Miyake invented them to give scouts more stuff to do, and to give movie characters the ability to have weapons even when the character itself doesn't actually have one to be packed in the toy. So there's a really cool little discussion in there about the C-clip joints. The last little anecdote I wanted to bring up right off the top of my head was that apparently the handlebars on Straxus's knees, those are the only remaining vestige of an aborted gimmick to have the Straxus Fortress mode be able to be manned by a scout transformer. And speaking for myself, it still totally can be. So, you know, that for something that's the last vestige of a gimmick, it actually, I think, still has a whole lot of viability in what it can do. But it's a really cool interview, and I really recommend you guys check it out. This popped up while we were recording, so we haven't really had time to study it over. But I love these interviews myself, because I love hearing from the Japanese Takara Tomy side of the franchise. We have so much intimate contact with the Hasbro guys via BotCon and Q&As and things. It's really great when the designers at Takara Tomy can do some of this stuff too. They also talk quite a bit about Lugnut, which is pretty neat. So Derek Wyatt should read this yesterday. I know you guys haven't had a chance to look at this yet, so there's probably not much you guys can really add from it. But I don't know, any thoughts you guys do have on this interview, or just these generations books and their designer interviews in general?
I'm pretty sure that Miyake guy was at BotCon last year in Florida.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and I said hey to him, and he kind of just looked the other way. So,
oh,
yeah, I may have caught him in a bad mood, or he may just be a dick. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, I'm sure this article is very interesting, because I'm sure he probably wasn't a dick to the guy who was interviewing him.
Miyake did say that apparently Barricade, Lockdown, and Lugnut have been given treatment usually reserved for G1 characters, and I'm not sure where he's coming from on Barricade. Makes me think there's maybe something we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, that time that I just mentioned was actually while you were getting your Hideaki Yoke autograph, and I was taking pictures, and I was standing next to him. And so I wasn't standing right next to this guy.
Maybe Bob Budiansky's grumpiness was rubbing off on him.
It's possible. It's entirely possible, yes.
Seth, I know you haven't really had a chance to check this stuff out, but have you got any thoughts on these kind of interviews in general? Like, have you checked out? I forgot how much you've checked out the other ones. I forgot if you were heavily into this stuff or not.
I don't know if I'd say I'm heavily into it. I mean, it's always interesting. And even if I don't get around to reading the whole thing for myself, I mean, it was just interesting listening to your synopsis. But, like, cool little anecdotes like that of, like, Wheeljack was the original attention and not Trax. Like, stuff like that's always kind of cool to hear about.
Yeah, and like I said, the wording is always really cool, too, because in that same line, Yuki says, we suggested Trax flight mode when Hasbro asked if Trax could be made from Wheeljack, and they said, well, we can probably approximate a flight mode out of this. And then he says, quote, Hasbro's person in charge is a Transformers fan, and he graciously approved. And, like, knowing that they were probably talking to, like, Aaron Archer or Eric Siebenhaler at the time is kind of like, or one of those guys, for them just to call them Hasbro's person in charge who was a Transformers fan, I found really amusing. It's like, yep, he probably was, if this was a couple years ago.
Well, and it almost kind of sounds like they don't really care who's over on the American side. It's like, yeah, whoever that dude is with the facial hair.
Guess he likes Transformers.
At a video conference or something, I don't know.
The only other bit of info about Wheeljack you can also glean is that going by the line art, Wheeljack is supposed to have the wheels on his shoulders facing out, while Trax is supposed to have the wheels pointing forward. So, there you go. That about does it for New Pick Picks. So let's I'm going to try to do this again. Let's go into some voicemails in the middle of the show, because I find these very refreshing. And many thanks again to my official voicemail handler, GogDog, who compiles these and sends them to me in nice, easy dosages, so I don't have to do any of the work.
I just want to say one thing for all the voicemails. I think have been great so far, and I think now that we've been putting them in, we've been getting a lot more. And please call in. I think they're fun to listen to, and they're fun to incorporate into the show, but try to include your name, like, either whenever, like, at the front or the beginning. But when you do, like, say it clearly and concisely. You're like, hey, this was with a prime, and I just want to, like, we have to, sometimes we got to listen to these things, like, four or five times before we can figure out who's even saying them. And even then, a lot of times we're not even sure if we're getting the name right. So, like, just, you know, when you say your name, just say it slowly and clearly so we can understand.
Yeah, it's the nature of phone calls, and I understand from the user end how it can go. So just, you know, dictionate hardcore if you could. Otherwise, we don't know who you are, and then it'll be embarrassing when we are like, yeah, so that came from Magster Don Magnus 87 or whatever. His first voicemail.
Something I think I remember saying a while ago when we first started taking calls is listening to some of them between this being like voice over the internet being recorded on Google's thing and whatever quality the phone you're speaking into may or may not be as far as sound quality. Like if you can speak in a kind of not slow, but you want to speak at a fairly good pace and just try to be, just enunciate, because who knows, like you might be on some junky old cell phone that is working against you. It's like, we had one guy call in multiple times because he wasn't sure how good he was sounding. And like in some of them, he could barely understand anything he was saying. And then in the last one, he sounded pretty good. So just assume that everything is against you. And just leave the best message you can.
Assume the entire world is working against you and speak like this. All that said, we've got a voicemail from the Nerdformer. And I'm going to turn that on now. So also just, this is more for the podcasters, but I'll say again, the way I run this is if you guys talk during the voicemail, that is awesome. But you'll also hear yourself. So don't get too wigged out if you do. So,
but then the listener doesn't hear us.
Well, no, the listener can hear you still.
Okay. Because I thought you said then you went in with the MP3 and popped it in.
Oh, I do. But I leave all your guys' tracks in there as well.
Okay.
This comes to us from the Nerdformer on March 11th of this year.
Hey guys, this is the Nerdformer from the Boards, and I was just hoping to try out your new number. So my question was, since Prime is kind of doing a weekly thing, I guess they haven't had a new character week, but they're adding new characters. I'm wondering what character, if any, would you like to see in the show, and also as a toy, if you made as a toy. And that's it. So, just want to say great job and keep up the good work. Bye.
See, that is how you leave a voicemail. It's very nice. That's a good, that was good. That was a perfect example to follow up with what we had just talked about. That's a good one. So congratulations, the Nerdformer, on being our object lesson for the week.
He nerdformed into a good message.
Exactly.
That's his alt mode.
A good voicemail.
Voicemail.
Yeah. And it's a question we seem to get pretty, I guess at the a lot of people wanted to know about this. So I think we've had this question before. My answer is still, I know she's in the show already, but I want it more arachnid and I want a toy. Today, please. I'll check my mailbox after we're done recording. Gog, any changes to your answers on, I'm sure you've been asked this question on the air at some point now.
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is everybody, because it's not like Prime has this giant cast of characters yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to see a toy of everyone eventually. I'd say, I mean, BotCon pretty much showed that we're getting toys of most everything, even the stuff that they didn't have, like gray prototype slides for, like they showed sketchwork for the Erraticon and Viacon
and so. Wheeljack as well,
and Ratchet, and well, Ratchet, I think they actually had the proto slide,
and there were some Cyberverses too, like a very movie styled Ironhide Cyberverse.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I'd say probably, I mean, we already know that we're getting the Erraticon, but I want the Erraticon to be good. I want it because I want that car mode to look really cool.
I also want
the robot mode to be more than just passable.
You want to feel good about army building that one.
Yeah, I do. I'd like to get at least three of those things for sure. And of course, an aerial ViaCon as well.
Yeah.
But I'd say probably because we just got official photos just this week of the Prime toys. Mm-hmm. And I want to say too that I think the Prime toy packaging is the sexiest toy packaging we've had in a long time. Nice. for Transformers.
Nice big character art.
Yeah, it looks really good. One thing that I noticed too, and this might be because the only figures that we've seen so far in package are the quote unquote first edition, mm-hmm. which are the carded Bumblebee, Starscream, and RC figures, and then of course the Prime and Megatron. I'm not sure if they're going to be offered individually or not, but I know that they're coming in that double entertainment pack with I think a DVD and then the kids, mm-hmm. the little PVC kids. But the carded figures that we've seen for Prime, for Bumblebee, Starscream, and RC, one thing I noticed is they all have uniquely cut cards that match the silhouette of their body, like in the top corner.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's something that's going to carry on if that's just something unique to the first edition, since there's only going to be three individually carded figures, presumably.
Yeah.
Or if that's something that's going to be... that's going to go on. But either way, I think just the bright blue packaging, it looks really cool. Even though, yeah, it's all going to end up in the garbage anyway, but man, it's going to be nice.
I appreciate nice packaging. It. I mean,
I do too.
Modern G.I. Joe packaging is still my favorite Western toy packaging of the last two or three years because mm-hmm. it's just so nicely put together.
I agree. I think the Pursuit of Cobra packaging
is
really cool.
Gorgeous. Those are gorgeous. But even the movie line, if you don't like the color green, then yeah, it's going to look awful. But something about the movie packaging, even just the down to the placement of the card, the thickness of the bubble, everything was just really aesthetically pleasing. And then Pursuit of Cobra, I think it took the best of that and applied it to the 25th anniversary style. And then it just was beautiful. I still have a Pursuit of Cobra Jungle Viper that I haven't opened yet, and I don't know when I'm going to open him because he just looks so nice. Stuff like this makes me see why people become sealed box collectors.
Yeah, and some lines are better suited to that than others, but I think the G.I. Joe stuff is particularly suited to being sealed. But I'd say outside of that, Eradicon, I'm kind of impressed with the Deluxe RC that we've gotten. But I think that they could do a better one, and I wouldn't mind seeing them take a second crack at RC in a Voyager size. I know that's probably not going to happen. Have we ever gotten a Voyager size motorcycle?
Nope. I don't think
so. And that is probably not going to happen now, but, I wouldn't mind having them take a second crack at RC, but that's also saying that before I have it in hand, so... I'll definitely have more opinions on that in a few months when we start getting our hands on these figures.
Seth, I know that you've been asked this question as well then, but anything new on that front?
Well, I don't remember if we were specifically asked about Prime or just everything else.
Oh,
what animated character, what movie character, comic book character, video game character. Board game character.
I want to see some more Transformers board game characters.
HeroClix. Magic the Gathering ripoff card game.
Munchkin.
Yeah. Pen and paper RPG. Just knocking out my generic answers. Shockwave, Huffer, Gears, Sky Gary. Just get them out of the way. A character that I would love to see, but I know we probably never can because of rights and who owns what, is Circuit Breaker.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see Circuit Breaker come back in some way. But there's the whole thing where Marvel owns the rights to her because she was in one panel of Secret Wars 2. So that took her out of, that made her not a Transformer character, but a Marvel Comics character. And then they never do anything with her there either. It's a bummer. She's an interesting character. I think interesting things could be done with her.
You know, she would fit in really well with Mech, I think, in Transformers Prime. Mech is a great way to introduce at least a Circuit Breaker style character.
Yeah, not, you know, still not being past the first 5 episodes myself. I can't really say, I think this character would work well in Prime, because I don't really know how Prime's going.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually listened to the Primetime episode, I guess it was last week. You guys were talking about Mech a lot, and that sounded really interesting. And that's when I first started thinking of Circuit Breaker. Like, what if they make a Circuit Breaker? And I thought, well, no, they can't do that because of Marvel. So, you know, get Disney on the phone, work out a deal. Like, that might be cool for, like, if when they do a 4th Transformer movie, which they seem to have their heart set on, if they kind of change up the look and the vibe to it, like a Circuit Breaker might even be cool in the movies.
Oh, totally. Especially if, you know, she gets in a fight with Jason Statham.
Yeah, like she could be like a nest experiment gone wrong and like goes crazy and breaks loose and then they have to stop her. Like there's all kinds of ways you could introduce a character like Circuit Breaker. I want to see like a tough punk rock kind of chick just zapping Autobots and whatnot.
Zort. But hope that answered your voicemail, the Nerd Former. I've got another voicemail here from K-Mac, who sent this in the day after the Nerd Former called us. So let's see how K-Mac's voicemail sounds once I pull this open and press play. After I twiddle this dial and then lean back here and K-Mac.
Hello, this is K-Mac from TFW 2005 with a few quick questions. Of all the characters from Prime whose toys have yet to be revealed, whose toy are you most looking forward to? For me, I'm most looking forward to Bulkhead or Knockout. Also, what are your feelings on the possibility of the Bayformers lines ending? Do you openly welcome the end of the aesthetic, or is there a part of you that will mourn the loss? For me, I like the movie lines, but I'm getting a little tired of seeing them, and gladly welcome the full-on Prime toy line and the reintroduction of more size classes to the classics lines. Thank you for your answers. Bye.
Yes!
I'm pretty sure, because we already had a voicemail from K-Mac. I'm pretty sure he's the one that just, he didn't even say goodbye last time. He just hung up.
You know what? And at the start he says, hello, this is K-Mac. You know, that K-Mac's my new favorite voicemail caller.
Because he does it clear and concise with the abrupt hang up.
And there's a click. I love it. So we kind of already answered his first question too, because he wants to know Arachne. Yeah. There you go. But let's focus on the Bayformer question, or the movieverse styling going away for a while, possibly. Personally, yeah, I mean, if I'd felt more inundated with movie toys, I'd be more welcome to it going away. But I feel like there have been enough breaks between movie lines. But that said, I also stopped really watching movie lines when they would hit their end runs. Because when I think about it, a lot of the movie lines never went through that same thing I felt with animated and Power Core combiners, where they hit the end of the line, or Generations even, hitting the end of its line for the time being, and, you know, really cool figure comes out, like, I wish there was one more wave of this. And with the movie lines, there's cool toys, but I often feel like, by the time we get to the end of a movie line, I'm kind of like, yeah, well, that was cool, I'm ready for the next thing. And so I guess that's my answer to this too, with movie toys potentially taking a hiatus after Dark of the Moon has, you know, 6 or 7 waves of toys, I'll be like, yeah, I'm ready for it to take a break. There's always going to be holes, you know. I'm always going to wish they'd done a bigger Blackout toy, especially after seeing how well they did on the Cyberverse toy. I'm always going to wish that they did a better Movie 1 Megatron toy in Cyberverse, if they don't do it already. Lots of movie characters I would love to see get better toy treatment or more varied toy treatment, but with the movie being so popular and my doubting it going away for a long time, outside of toy lines, I am totally cool with the movie's aesthetic taking a break for a while. And I think Dark of the Moon is a great example of how far the engineering came with the movie aesthetic. And I think that there's you know, I've been last movie line, I said I don't see how this much room for improvement. So I guess there's a bit of sadness in that, you know, if they had to do a fourth movie's worth of Bumblebee toys, it'd be interesting to see how the engineers over at Takara Tomy would handle it, because they clearly are getting, they're like, what can we do? Let's have his arms transform this way this time. Let's do this with his legs. Like, I kind of sickly enjoy watching their own fatigue manifest in the toys, but that said, yeah, I'm not sad about it taking a break, because many other things have taken breaks. Seth, what about you?
Yeah, well, at the time he asked this question, as far as anybody knew, this was going to be the last Transformer movie with Bay stepping out.
Mm-hmm.
Three usually being a good spot to end, but it seems like they're getting ready to do four right away. So who knows if it will be more than 2 years before the next movie. I guess it depends on how fast they could hire a director. But they're saying that that the fourth movie won't be a reboot, or at least Don Murphy saying that. You know, Don Murphy.
Now said.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there was some change in the aesthetic of the robots.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure a new director is going to want to put kind of his own spin on things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm not here to just be Michael Bay 2.
Yeah.
I'm whoever I am, and I'm going to switch up how stuff looks.
I'm whoever I am. I'm Eli Roth.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know well, who doesn't need to work on Transformers in his entire life is Eli Roth. There you go. I said it.
Well, he might be able to take Optimus to whole new levels of psychotic butchery.
Now, you know what? I'm going to I'm throwing a shoe on the floor at that one. No. No, Eli Roth would do it wrong. He wouldn't get why it works. He wouldn't get it. He would just go like, He'd drink, like, you know, he'd drink a couple beers, get his frat boy on, and go like, what would be awesome? Like, you guys talk about Michael Bay being a frat boy. You know who's a damn frat boy? Is Eli Roth. But, okay, I'm going to drop this now.
I ain't getting Eli Roth's back on nothing except for Inglourious Basterds.
So I'm not even getting his back on that. Why was he, I don't know.
Why was he in there? Because Sandler was busy.
Yeah, I would have preferred to see Adam Sandler's.
I'm super curious as to what that movie would have felt like if Adam Sandler was that character.
Yeah.
When I heard that he was the first choice, I'm like, oh my God, I want to see both movies. I want to see Eli Roth and Adam Sandler versions of this movie.
So Tarantino was saying that he picked Adam Sandler first.
Yeah.
Okay. My respect for Tarantino has returned. Because I was sitting there the whole time going, that's part of the reason why I hated Eli Roth being in that role. I was like, God damn it, Eli Roth. Like, I know you're friends with Tarantino. Stop muscling your mug into all his films, because I don't like you. Because, you know, I have heavy bias here. But that, I'm actually quite, I didn't know that. I'm quite glad to hear that. That's reassuring. Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, it was there was a scheduling conflict. I can't remember the name of the movie that Adam Sandler was in that came out that same summer. But that was the problem.
Then
Simon Pegg was supposed to be in Inglourious Basterds also.
Really?
Yeah, he was going to be the British soldier that goes undercover as a German.
That would have been way cooler.
I don't agree.
I don't know. Well, I'm not recalling the character that well, so I admit maybe I'm knee-jerking on that one. But,
like, Simon Pegg, I mean, because the character is supposed to be like a film student. Like, or a film expert, or whatever the guy is.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking of a different character. I know what you mean now, okay.
Yeah, so I could buy Simon Pegg as that, but I don't know, I think the other guy just looked more like a soldier.
No, I agree, that character.
He looked more like a German. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't picture Simon Pegg as being able to pass himself off as a German.
For some reason, I was thinking of a different character. Yeah. I agree with you on that one.
So what was this dude's question?
Tell us all about Eli Roth.
Toys going away. So, you know, who knows what the fourth movie is going to look like. it might be better, it might be worse. Like, you know, like that would be crazy if like the fourth movie comes out, we're like, oh my god, I wish Michael Bay would never left. I am kind of done with the movie style as it is. Like, I want to get the last Wrecker in deluxe size, and that might be about it. Mm. Like, besides Voyager Megatron, which I still can't find around here, but that's all right. I'll find him eventually, and if not, I'll just order him off the internet.
I was going to say something. I was going to say something about Roland Emmerich, but I don't want to drag that on any farther.
Neither do I. But I just don't think there's any other Dark of the Moon figures I would want.
All right, Gog, what about you? Are you okay with let's say that they do a full on aesthetic change. Are you okay with the end of this aesthetic for the time being? Will you miss it?
No, I'm kind of over the movie stuff. There's a few more figures, a couple more that I may be interested in picking up, but as a whole, I think every once in a while they'll knock one out of the park and I really like it, but for the most part, it's like, I mean, we're like four waves in on deluxes now. I think I've bought two. That's very unlike me. I'm not into the Dark of the Moon line at all, and that's... It's not even a judgment on the quality of the figures. It's just I'm kind of just taking this time to enjoy not having to buy something, because with every movie line, most of the stuff after I've had it for a while, I didn't care at all, and I just see these figures that it's like I buy them and they're kind of cool because of the engineering and stuff, but in the end, I don't really love the aesthetic. Like I said, there's some certain exceptions there, easily. I'm not saying it's all crap, but I don't love it as much as I do other aesthetics. It's interesting, though, because in his question, he had said, would we miss the Bay aesthetic? And I would even go so far as to say that with Transformers Prime, it's a bit of a mix of that movie aesthetic with a classics, maybe even a tiny bit of animated sprinkled in, but while I certainly wouldn't say that Prime has the movie aesthetic, it has hints of that in there. Obviously, you look at Prime,
yeah.
And while he's not a full-on movie Prime, he's a simplified cartooned version of that that whole take on Prime for sure. Prime wouldn't be Prime. Wouldn't be that Prime without the movie. I mean, and that's not news to anybody. Mm-hmm. Same with Bumblebee. But I look at Bumblebee, even in the animation versus just in toy form, and I greatly prefer the Prime version, I think. Of course, that may just be because it's fresher. We've had the movie-style Bumblebee with some minor changes here and there, but basically the same design since 07.
He's had the most toys, too.
But, I mean, Bumblebee is a simplified, streamlined version of that, but you can see the movie stylings in there, but it's also all the rough, twisted metal aesthetic has been abandoned for a classic, streamlined look, mm-hmm. but with the hints of the movie stuff in there. Same with RC. She certainly isn't a blocky classic style Transformer, but she's not full on. Like, look at the motorcycle bots from the movie. I mean, those things were borderline atrocious, but she takes some of that movie aesthetic and incorporates that into a much more streamlined classic Transformers feel. So that's something that's really grown on me, because I grew up with block bots, man. Like, the Dreamwave style, when they brought all that stuff back, where, I mean, not necessarily Pat Lee, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, old school Don Figueroa with just blocky dudes with the modern arts. Like, hell yeah. Like, that's what I love. But I can see the appreciation, I think, that the movie influence has had in going beyond the Blockformers and making them a little more of a modern take on Transformers, but I like the I like the compromise that Prime has in that it takes some of the good stuff from that, but it greatly streamlines it like old school Don Figueroa art, where all that stuff is just it's very sleek looking, and you don't have all this crazy stuff that's going on with the movie designs. And it's I think Prime is a very good middle ground between those two designs myself.
Well, I just want to throw out there a quick apology to Treshy Prime on Twitter, who just today asked me when WTF at TFW is going to show some love to the new Dark of the Moon Deluxe Jolt. Clearly, that is no love there for Deluxe Jolt. Although, I will say, going off what Gog said, I was in Gog's position of, like, three waves of Deluxes, and maybe one of them was interesting me, that being Crankcase. Having picked up some more of them entirely on the recommendations of friends and acquaintances on Twitter and on the boards, I am far more into the Deluxe Dark of the Moon toys now, but I will also say it is primarily because of the interest I have in their engineering and how much I enjoy their standing aesthetics more so than a love for the movie aesthetic itself. Like Jolt, I am very close to trying out Jolt and possibly the Sideswipe, because I've had more than five people say that they really like those figures, and that usually means something on my own personal internet. So, I don't know. I think for me, it's also just about, have we had, like, for movie characters, have we had a definitive toy yet? Now that we've had three movies worth, we're probably going to have enough definitive toys of some of those designs to move along. But, thank you for your voicemail, K-Mac. Click. Let's go into what we got this week. I want to know about things bought, because I got a cool what we got this week, and I'm going to save it for a little bit. Seth, did you get any Transformers this week?
I got nothing on topic.
Oh, no!
I have something on topic coming, but it didn't get here in time. So I can guarantee next time, I will have something.
For our season premiere next time. I'll tell you about it later. Premiere. Yeah, I'll explain by the end of the show. Well, just sticking with on-topic stuff for now, Gog, did you get any Transformers stuff this week?
I did. I actually got several Transformers in the last 2 weeks.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about them.
I have a big negative, and I want to get it out of the way, because I don't want to...
I was wondering if it was going to be about Transformers or about something else.
it's about Transformers. Oh. I want to get this out of the way so I can transition into I don't want to end on a bad note. I got Leader Ironhide today. I despise that figure. I really do not like him, and I understand I'm in the minority, and this is all my opinion, but...
I'm just going to cut in for a sec. I have seen very divided opinions on Leader Ironhide by this point. Now that he's mass market, mm-hmm. I have seen people say he's the best Ironhide toy, and I have seen people say he's the worst Ironhide toy. Mm-hmm. So it's all over the board on that one right now.
Yeah. I haven't had I have not bought an Ironhide toy since the original release of the 07 Voyager. Mm-hmm. So I can't really make a lot of comparisons as far as the recent Ironhide toys, such as the new Cyberverse Commander and the new Voyager and the Deluxe, because I haven't bought any of them. I have kind of been tempted by the Scan series Toys R Us Deluxe, because I keep seeing that pop up, and now that I've pretty much ruled this out as my Voyager, because I had Leader Ironhide sold to someone within 45 minutes of me buying him. That's how much I...
Oh, dear.
Okay, let's get out of the rhetoric and into actual facts about the toy, or at least my versions of the facts. Like my first experience, because he comes packaged, obviously, in robot mode, so I go to transform the chest. He has a bit of a faux chest, which is fine. The parts of the hood of the car fold down and clip into the middle section, which is a fake. It's all pre-molded and doesn't really do a lot. But while transforming him into vehicle mode, I think I had either side of those pop off about five times each. And at one point, I just decided not to even touch them, and I would move in another part, and they both would just fall off. I did it a second time, and with very, very, very steady hands, I was able. And some people told me that they didn't have that experience at all. So take that for what you will. But his head doesn't move at all. It's apparently it looks like there might have, from what I've read, there may be a joint that allowed that, but then they were worried that the electronics would break, which I've also read of people actually doing. So they glued the head in place. It just looks straight ahead. Has no wrist swivels at all, which is a little weird because he comes with all these cool guns and knives that come out of his legs, reach down, and so his forearm is just one giant molded solid piece. Doesn't have opening hands or even wrist swivels. Giant amounts of kibble on his arm. Basically just a door folds over and then folds in half, and there's really no good place where that kibble goes. There's a peg where you kind of peg it into place, but the peg isn't really in a good position for it. It bumps into everything no matter what you do. So you could unpeg it and move it into a better position, but then it doesn't really peg in anywhere. So his knees are constantly bent. You can't even fully straighten his legs out. The kibble on his back, I guess, isn't that bad, but his truck mode is definitely better than the robot mode, I think. It's not bad from certain angles. The gun in robot mode, he has these cool gimmicks where you push in the like the roll bar from behind the cab, because that breaks in half and goes on to either forearm, and you push that in, and the cannons pop out in a bit of an automorph, and that gimmick on its own is pretty neat. And then when you transform him into truck mode, his forearms end up on the top, so both of those guns will automorph off out of the top of the truck. And that gimmick is actually pretty cool, you know, credit where credit is due. But just the whole underside of the truck, no matter, unless you're looking at it from straight above, is just giant blue plastic sticking out from under the truck. It's not great to look at at all. And in fact, in the front wheel wells, there's just a couple of like gray robot parts that like actively stick out of the wheel well. They don't even hide. I appreciate the toy because it's definitely it's probably the simplest leader figure in the movie lines since the original 07 Leader Prime. And it's definitely a better figure than that. But compared to every leader figure we've gotten, I guess I can't compare it to Revenge of the Fallen Tank Megatron, because I'd never...
Just leave him out. He's...
Okay, yeah, I was going to make an all-encompassing statement, but I just actually had realized that I completely forgot about that toy.
Let me throw this out there. If you're going to talk about simple leader toys, that Megatron toy, I think even with this Ironhide, that Megatron is still the simplest leader toy that's ever come out.
Okay, fair enough. But with the past three leader toys that I've owned from the movie line, I have Revenge of the Fallen, the original Revenge of the Fallen Swords Prime, Sentinel Prime, which is, I think it's fantastic. Leader Starscream, I think it's fantastic. The only negative in there is Jetfire, but Jetfire suffered from the fact that he was designed to be a gimmick. That was the bottom line. He suffered from that, but there's a clear and concise reason for that. He was never meant to be a standalone figure, which was a horrible choice, I think, but that's beside the point. But this leader Ironhide does not even come close to comparing to any of those figures, some of which were released years ago. And I don't mind his simplicity. Like especially Seth has talked about the kind of the simple elegance of Masterpiece Grimlock, and I can certainly appreciate figures who do things simple but still do them well. But this, I think, for if you had downscaled this figure a little bit and made him a Human Alliance, I think that a lot of my problems with it may have gone away. But the two Human Alliance figures that I have are way better designed than this. Actually, no, I got four. What am I talking about? Maybe with the exception of Barricade. But and again, I think that this toy suffers from the whole we have to incorporate a gimmick, because he has this gimmick where he has this, his entire torso opens up to reveal a giant spinning Gatling gun. Mm-hmm. It's like, it wasn't in the movie. Like, I can see like why they would want to put something kind of different in there, maybe, but the toy kind of really suffers from it, I think, in that he's just a giant block of plastic with an electronics box and now a spinning moving gun gimmick. And I've heard from people that Toys R Us has a sale on leader figures right now, where in the U.S. they're $35. What, none of my Toys R Us had a leader Ironhide, so that was never an option for me. But I think for the asking price, I bought it at Walmart for $42. I think after tax, it was $47. But it's not even close to being worth that price for me. It doesn't even come close, especially with what Hasbro has offered. The other two problems I have, and it's a cool gimmick, but both of the sides of his legs open up. One of them holds a big giant knife. So that's awesome. Like, Ironhide has a boot knife. The other side has a pistol that with a missile launching gimmick, just the same little plastic missile that's in all the Voyagers and Deluxes and everything that you've seen forever. The one that holds the gun for me, you pop the leg open. It has a little bit of an automorph and the gun kind of comes out. You can't shut that, but then you can't shut it unless you have to slowly rock the gun back and forth and to coax it back in place, and then it'll shut. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stinks. Don't have that problem with the knife, but somehow, somewhere, someone thought that the best way to secure the knife inside of the quote-unquote sheath is to, instead of having it slide into a sheath slot, they'd peg it in. Which, that sounds fine, right? Except for, it's held in place by three pegs. So the knife has three giant 3-millimeter peg holes that go all the way through it. So the knife basically looks like Swiss cheese. I can't understand for the life of me how someone thought that drilling or molding three giant holes in the knife, one of them is in the handle, like the top of the handle, was ever a good idea. So even the kind of cool gimmick of the knife is completely weirded out by the fact that the knife blades and all just has holes all through it, that it doesn't even look like it's a tactical hole or anything. It's just a giant peg hole. There's no other way to describe it. And he can't do anything with the knife because his wrists don't swivel. So I'm not into this figure at all. It looks so cool in the pictures and even in the box. It's like, this looks good. Like, his head sculpt looks great. Like, it's Ironhide. If you want an Ironhide that's going to do nothing but just sit on a shelf and look cool amongst, because a friend of mine, Counterpunch, he tweeted me a picture of him posed with the other Human Alliance figures. On a shelf, he looks fantastic. But me, just being kind of a bit of a posability junkie and really looking for that sort of thing, especially a $50 figure, especially with what we've gotten over the past 2 years with movie figures, it's just a huge step back, and it really got under my nerves because of, I was just so looking forward to it. And I if at one point I had conceded, I was like, I'm skipping most of the movie line. I think I'm going to skip this as well. But especially after watching the movie, it's like, man, I kind of want me an Ironhide now. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest. And spoiler, I am going to say spoilers after this. So if you've not seen the movie, all three of you, then skip ahead a couple minutes. But the whole only thing going through my head after opening that toy was, sorry, Ironhide, you had it coming. I'm on Team Sentinel now. Because he's got a way better toy. So he was putting you out of your misery to save the rest of us from it. But it's like, I don't know. Overall, I think my main thing is just, I'm really bummed out. I just don't like it. Plenty of people out there that do. I've had plenty of people tell me over AIM today that I'm absolutely insane. But so take it for what you will.
I am currently that kind of cements my current opinion of it, which is that I'd love to pick it up, but not for Canadian retail. If I can get a hold of that toy for $35, that's genius.
Yeah, if you can get it for the 35 sale that's going on right now, then if you're willing to live with the flaws that the toy has, then go for it. But picking this up at full retail price, I wouldn't do it. Wait for a sale.
68 something in Canada after taxes.
Because you are not getting the bang for your buck that you are with other leader figures. And I can't speak for the Bumblebee that's out there now, but that Sentinel, yeah, it might be a little fiddly, but man, that is a really impressive figure for the same price. And with Ironhide, it's just not worth it. He's kibble-tastic in every mode and has almost no poseability. It's just really disappointing because I was, when we had all knew that this Leader Ironhide toy was coming out, I'm like,
right with what I was talking about before. That looked like it was going to be possibly the definitive Ironhide toy.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the way it totally was with me for Prime. After getting that Revenge of the Fallen Leader Prime, I haven't bought a single movie Prime since, and I doubt I will. Because to me, it's like, I have a Prime. Like, you can't outdo that for me. Same with the Leader Starscream. That Leader Starscream is awesome. I love that figure. I mean, I could still maybe I'll pick up the Deluxe just because.
Well, you're going to get a chance to pick it up Star as Thundercracker, so.
Yeah, you know. but I'm still in the same boat with that. Like, I finally have my definitive Starscream, and I was kind of hoping that way with Ironhide, and there's no way. Even if this is the best Ironhide toy, if you're saying that, then for me, that's a huge knock against all the Ironhide toys that I haven't picked up and have maybe considered, and that further cements my validity in not picking up any of those figures since 2007.
I'm going to stick up for the Deluxe Ironhide still, because I thought was a very well done piece, but he's so small. He's a really well done piece that goes with sidearm sideswipe. Not with larger toys.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that this Ironhide's not going to be in your top five toys of the year by the end of the year?
No. Maybe the top five worst.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't like it. Don't like it at all. Don't want it. And like I said, about 45 minutes after opening it, messing with it for a few minutes, I already sold it at a loss to someone else.
If anyone out there finds a $35 Ironhide and is going to TFCon, you know, go ahead and pick it up and bring it down there, because that Ironhide still has better electronics than what we're going to have up here, because all our electronics are messed up. Mm. That's also why I'm kind of bringing that up, because I'm like, someone should bring an Ironhide and I'll buy it off you for $35. That's a bummer. Seth, are you as pumped as I am to pick up Leader Ironhide, having heard all that?
No. I wasn't planning on getting any of the leader figures from this movie, so this just makes me not feel like I'm wondering if I'm missing out on something, because apparently I'm not.
Blam. All right, well.
Thank you for taking the hit on that one.
Well, moving out of that, I'm guessing that things went better after... put the leader aside.
I found my just today, actually before I found Ironhide, I found myself a Hatchet.
Hatchet. Okay.
Hatchet's pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie. He is pretty impressive for what he does at that size class. My only gripe about him is that his hind legs are a little doofy, but he does everything else so well that I think it makes up for it. The way I like his tail, his tail is pretty poseable. It took me a minute to figure out that you can pull the nose cone out, and it actually has the nose cone becomes the tip of his tail, and it has an extra joint in there. But you have to pull it out and extend it. But he's pretty cool. One thing that really impressed me is his jet mode, because he comes packaged in what the instructions call beast mode. Because he comes packaged in his quote unquote robot mode. The first part of the instructions say transforming to vehicle, and then you flip the instruction sheet over and it says transforming to beast. That's kind of, I don't know, I got to giggle out of that. But I didn't use the instructions when I transformed them for the first time. He's simple, you know, whatever, you don't probably need them. So I'm transforming it to jet mode. And his jet mode is actually really sleek, except for you get to a certain part to where it's a really sleek, complete, solid, near seamless jet
with two giant arms sticking off the bottoms of the wings. And I'm like, this is not going to end well. So no matter what I did, no matter what I was doing with them, I was like, oh, man, like there's just going to be these giant arms on the underside of the wings, and this is going to look like crap. Then I realized that the forearm splits in half and rotates 180 degrees, and part of it goes up against the body of the jet, and it looks a lot better than I was ever expecting. You still have two hands that stick kind of out the back of the jet next to the jet engines.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they engineered the arms splitting in half to fold just to get rid of the kibble is pretty impressive, and it's not something that you would have seen a couple years ago in a movie figure of this size. They would have just said, oh, well, it's a small figure. Just leave the arms under there. Nobody will notice. Mm-hmm. Or nobody will care at this size class. So it was a little touch kind of really impressed me. So
I really want to find that toy.
Yeah, he's nothing particularly mind-blowingly amazing other than he's a jet that transforms into this giant cat beast. Mm-hmm. And that on its own is kind of cool.
And he's partnered up with two dreadlocked robots that turn into security vehicles. There's something about that trio that just really works for me.
Yeah, was the crankcase, was he a commander size?
No, crankcase and crowbar are both Legion size, so they're
yeah,
very simple.
And so yeah, there's a couple things that bum me out about the dreads, and that's number one, there's no evidence that we'll ever get all three dreads in SUV mode,
yeah.
And I kind of find that a little depressing because I'm totally all about give me identical SUVs that transform completely differently into completely different robot
Hell
modes.
Yeah.
But I don't see Hasbro doing that, unfortunately. So, and the other thing is we're getting even the smaller figures where they could have maybe made that concession that they wouldn't have at the, deluxe price point, and that they're giving them all different vehicle modes. Again, I totally understand. And granted, his jet mode is really cool. It's all really neat stuff, but mm-hmm. it's not movie accurate, which I'm kind of into the dread, so that would have been neat. But
that's my new campaign for this movie line. I think that by the end of it, I will, if they can give me at least one more deluxe dread, I'll feel better mm-hmm. about it. I mean, Hatchet, I think is the one who's really screwed, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, the Cyberverse versions, I actually like them as a trio too, because you know, if the movie had just shown their robot modes, I would totally be into them just being two cars and a jet. Like that's also already a cool setup, but to have them all be the same SUV would be so damn cool. And I was already looking at one of my crankcases going like, I wonder how hard it would be. Like customizing a crankcase into crowbar probably wouldn't be impossible.
Yeah, that like, would be the easy one, but Hatchet's gonna be, there's no way you could do a Hatchet from a crankcase.
I was looking at it and I was just like, oh, I wish there was some way that this would make sense, because I would be so into that.
Yeah, but Hatchet is a pretty awesome little figure. I think he's worth it, and he has my only complaint of figures at that size class with movie faces are not the best, but whatever. The only other thing I'd mention too is he has this back flap that opens up that helps fill a gap on the top of his beast mode or whatever. And it's not in any of the instructions. The instructions never show that part flipped out. So right behind where the tail comes out, you can unfold that, and it helps fill in that gap on his back, and it makes him look a lot better, I think. So just that's worth noting. Everybody will probably find that on their own. But
I heard his missiles are supposed to be UAVs.
So, I could see that, yeah.
So instead of shooting missiles, he shoots UAVs, which I thought was kind of funny.
The UAVs, the nose cones flip around and reveal two different guns. One of them looks like a Gatling gun, and one of them looks like maybe a laser gun or a missile launcher or something.
That's not the kind of UAV I'm used to.
Yeah, well, they're transformers, Chris.
But how am I?
Boom!
How am I going to stop that UAV with my rocket launcher?
Headshot.
Kill streak.
So yeah, Hatchet's cool. If you see him, get him, because he probably everybody else is too, so you'll miss out if you don't. Got myself a movie Laserbeak. I'd played with Seth's at BotCon. Said, okay, that's neat. But it sat, playing with his satisfied my curiosity. But unfortunately, the movie gave me more than curiosity.
The movie gave me a little bit more than OG on this one.
Yeah, the movie gave me a bit more than a curiosity that that needed to be fulfilled. It gave me a love for movie Laserbeak. So I had, I still don't think the toy is great, but I need an incarnation of him, and I definitely have a greater appreciation for that toy having seen the movie.
I was just deleting out some pictures from my iPhone, and I came across the picture I took of his packaging to tweet out, because the face looks really weird on that packaging, and just looking at it again, it actually doesn't really look anything like the movie Laserbeak.
Yeah, like, it's the eyes.
Really different in the movie.
Yeah, his eyes, like, I think there was one point where he squinted, and it kind of looked like the squinty eyes on the toy, but that was, like, one frame or something. Yeah.
Well, the toy's even closer than the packaging picture. The packaging picture looks like something else altogether.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird looking. I don't know.
The, I like Laserbeak's wing posability. He can rotate. And one thing that I loved about Laserbeak in the movie was, because he has these fans on his wings, and he totally, there's a couple parts in the movie where he swoops in using full-on, like, bird flight, and then just hovers midair, like, using the VTOLs in his wings. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And you can get some really cool, like, midair hovering, like, eagle swooping down for his prey with his claws poses with his wings, and...
I'm going to look for that toy.
I think I have a bit more appreciate, because I thought his alt mode was a little doofy. It's like, well, I'm going to turn from a bird, and I'm just going to fold my wings in and hide my head. Now I'm a bird-looking drone. But seeing as how Laserbeak in the movie basically could turn into anything he wants, it kind of retroactively validates the toy.
Yeah.
Because he totally probably could turn into just that if he wanted to. So... it's like, whatever, I don't care. I probably won't ever use the mode unless I'm bored and fiddling with it, but maybe they'll do a more... because I don't think his wings were... were his wings red in the movie? Maybe the VTOLs were?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either, but whatever. He's still cool. One thing to note, though, is that his heels are 5mm pegs. So, unfortunately... he's out of scale with anything that could ever use that, because, like, Voyager Megatron has 2 mech-tech ports on his forearms. Deluxe Laserbeak is almost the size of Voyager Megatron, so it would be like him trying to hold up a giant frickin' eagle from Lord of the Rings on his arm.
You know what I saw that was really cool? Someone used those... I think someone used those pegs to make Laserbeak turn into, a winged jetpack.
Yes, they put him on Fireburst Prime.
Yeah. Oh, I need to get Fireburst Prime now.
Yeah, and because the red wings, because Laserbeak's wings are red, it almost makes him look like he has these giant red Predaking wings.
And we all know that Prime has a propensity for taking other Transformers and just pushing them onto his body. I mean,
especially flying ones.
Oh man, I'm into this. I'm into this. I'm on board.
Yeah, I was talking about this with Quinjester earlier, and because Quinjester has both figures, and he's done this, and he likes it. But he says that in order for it to look good, you have to totally jam Laserbeak's tail, like, into Fireburst Prime's spine. So it almost looks like Laserbeak is the one that's grafted himself onto Prime and is totally taken over his brain. And I was like, dude, but the Fireburst Prime has this weird, like, venous... because he doesn't have the regular movie flames. He has, like, these weird red lines. So it totally looks like he has, like, these weird, like possessed veins all over his body. So I think it's a match made in heaven for sure.
Oh, man. I want both those toys so much more now.
Yeah.
And with that War for Cybertron axe? That third-party axe?
Oh, yeah. The one you got. The one with that looked like a membrane.
That would look so damn cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh man!
Hey, stop talking about this.
Yeah, I got 2 more Transformers. One was I got a Solar Storm grapple.
Hey.
So, yeah. He's the Inferno mold, but with a lot of retooling. It looks pretty cool. Big thanks to Proto Man, because he found a freaking giant pile of them on sale at Toys R Us for like $14 Canadian, and it blew my mind. And I was like, sir, may I have one? And he's like, yes, my friend.
You may indeed.
Huge, huge shout out for him. I've hooked him up in the past, so, you know.
Yeah, coming.
A little bit of karma there, but it's all good. We got the network going on. I also randomly bought something off of BBTS because I needed something to throw into an order and I couldn't figure out anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, I got some Beast Wars stuff. I threw in a Power Hug.
Oh, good.
Power Hug is exactly what I was expecting. I think his robot mode is crap, but I love his beast mode. His beast mode's awesome. He basically is like a pill bug.
Yep.
Known around these here parts as a roly poly.
Is that retracts, right? Like in the
Yes, yeah. Yes. He totally has a spring loaded gimmick where he just bloop wraps himself up into a ball, and I absolutely love it. I wish the robot mode wasn't as bad so I'd have any desire to ever do it again. I don't. I'm never going to transform that figure again, and it's kind of unfortunate, but darn it, that beast mode is awesome. Is it worth $15? Maybe, but it's still pretty funny. And so I don't regret buying him, but I kind of want to meet the designer who did that robot mode and be like, come on, man. even for I think that was Beast Wars 2.
And it came out in the States before then. That was from that was from pre-Transmetal Beast Wars.
Oh, okay.
That's old timey. And
like even for that era, it's like, come on now. Like, well, there's better then, Beast figures than
that was the toy everyone customized into Unicron. That was the easy custom to do.
Oh my god.
Don't you see it when he rolls up into a ball?
I can see it. I can see it, yeah.
And he's got horns in robot mode?
Yeah.
People are like, retracts his Unicron, obviously.
And then the planet unfolds into a giant planet-consuming insect.
Yes. And then when you reveal his robot mode, he just wants to give everybody a hug.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad you bought that.
I'm glad you got amusement out of it.
All right. Well, I got one Transformers thing this week, which was an advanced copy of the TFCon exclusive Stronghold, which I have not actually put onto my spare Onslaught yet, because I'm going to try to paint some silver onto Onslaught first before I do the whole thing and see if that helps him out. I can say the sticker sheet's really nice. It's top quality Repro Label stuff. If you've got Repro Labels before, you know what I'm talking about. It's like that. But oddly enough, last night, for the first time, I finally opened up my Head Robot's hot head that I got from Big Bad Toy Store, along with Heinrad and Bruce Lee. It's the Big Bad Toy Store version that has a little pouty mouth, and because I finally dug up the Universe hard head that I have, which I actually got thanks to King Laffo, who sent it to me some time ago. And so I put all that together, and it is really well done, that release. I gotta give, like, this is, I'm sure it's been said already, but, you know, now that I'm all caught up with the rest of the world, I gotta give massive props to Head Robots for various things in this kit. Number one, and most primarily being, that when you put this head onto the neck stump left behind when you remove the Onslaught head, it plugs on there really nice, and it is proportionally perfect in so many ways. It's hard to describe. Like, I was just staring at it afterwards. I was like, this is so well done. I didn't expect it to be that aesthetically pleasing. And once you add all the other guns on, of course, it helps out too. But it's really great. And I didn't know this, but if you just shove the head on, you know, you only get that side-to-side swivel that Onslaught has. But if you just kind of put the head on and then you don't shove it down all the way, it still holds on with full friction, and you get kind of a ball joint style tilting motion out of it as well in any direction. And that adds a huge amount to that toy. It's got cool guns and whatnot as well, but that's really the important thing, is that, you know, that head on that robot body actually works really well. The little Headmaster robot mode is pretty cool, but it has one major design flaw, which is that its heels are nowhere near as long as they need to be. He needs much longer heels to hold up the backpack of the head, and There's no plate to swivel to cover the face up when he's in robot mode. So when he's in robot mode, he just has this spooky looking upside down face on his back, which is weird. And as on the case of the Stronghold version, I do want to point out one thing that I'm not sure if it's been said yet, but the one piece of that toy that's meant to blend in with the actual vehicle mode, like the block, the backpack piece, is cast in, I swear it is the identical color plastic as the rest of Onslaught's main kind of bluish gray. And I mean, like, this is right down to the slight sparkle in the plastic. So I was kind of impressed by that. And I really want to see if I'm right about changing all the olive to silver on Onslaught and seeing if that makes this thing work really well. I know Pial's already tried doing some paint work, but he also painted gray onto it, which I want to see if you can make this look good by just adding the silver, just for the sake of people who don't want to make a full-on project out of this. But it's pretty cool. For an exclusive from out of TFCon, I'm quite impressed. And the build quality is great on Stronghold. I was kind of fibbing a little bit at the beginning when I was like, we'll see how the build quality is. It is actually quite good. It's on par with Hothead. And this is certainly not Nightbird all over again.
Yeah, the pictures look really good. I certainly would if I had access to this. I've already got Clench, and I think I already had decided that Clench was superior to Onslaught just with that awesome head that he had from BotCon of last year. I haven't done crap with my Onslaught, so this would definitely give me motivation to pull it out again.
If there's one little problem, it's that the head robot's head doesn't use the LED in Onslaught's neck stump at all. The goggles are a slightly opaque blue, but they utterly cut off the light from coming out, except from like the very crevices of it, of the plastic seams. I forgot to mention also, I should say this. There is an art card with any head robots toy, and Stronghold has an exclusive art card of Stronghold and the head robot robot mode as well. And this looks very much like Alex Milne art to me. I got to double check that, but it looks very, very, very much like Monsieur Milne. So, I mean, it also helps that I think the name Milne is written right down here on the corner, but... If you like Alex Milne's artwork, that's another little draw to this, is you get an exclusive piece of that in the packaging. So I'm pretty into this. So props to TFCon. I'll be trying this thing out fully later on tonight once we're done recording, but that's pretty cool. Anyway, let's go into some off-topic stuff. Seth, you are going to be our king for this section, because it sounds like you got something off-topic, which is more than I can say for myself.
Oh boy, did I.
Oh,
and just to keep track of everything, I took a picture of it, and let me bounce that over to you guys so you can enjoy it as I'm speaking.
Hoo-ah!
Where's the skank thing? Here's the skank.
I love the skank thing. My favorite thing is the Skype thing. Okay, I remember you were talking about this. Okay.
So, a lot of stuff happened this week. A bunch of things I had pre-ordered all started coming in like one day at a time. And that's not over yet. Like those things are still trickling in. And then I went on a bit of a Marvel frenzy recently. So just to run down the Marvel figures, I got two AIM soldiers, the Secret Wars two-pack that got you a Thunderball and Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and Bulldozer and the Thing. And also got the Wrecker, got the Juggernaut. I got Colossus. I got Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Classic Avenger box set, which are the original issue number one Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, Ant-Man, and Wasp. All in their like old timey kind of style.
Is that the Iron only, Man from the Iron Man 2 line? Like, is that the same one? Or
I don't believe so.
Ooh, that kind of.
I think it's different, and if it's the same mold, it looks really different in the paint.
Hmm.
Like you can't really see him very well in that picture. He's just sort of peeking up. But The only one of the set that looks particularly Kirby-esque is the Hulk. Mm-hmm. I think I would have thought that the... I think I would have liked this package better if they were all sculpted to look like Jack Kirby art. But it looks more like a modernized version of those costumes. Like, it's still the old-timey costume for the Wasp, specifically. But the only one that looks kind of old-timey is the face sculpt on the Hulk.
Hmm.
Even that Iron Man suit looks a little more modern than the old Kirby drawing. Then one of the other aspects with all these Marvel figures is besides that box set, all the others were either clearance priced or free shipping. So I didn't really pay extra for anything there.
Hmm.
And... excuse me. I'm missing one member of the Wrecking Crew at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently his two-pack is super expensive.
I saw you talking about this on Twitter, because he's packed in with currently the only Hawkeye toy.
No, there's two Hawkeyes. Oh. Well, there's a single-carded Hawkeye out now.
Okay.
But up until just recently, that was the only Hawkeye.
Right.
And I would say that the Hawkeye in that two-pack is probably better, because the single-carded Hawkeye has the derpiest face sculpt. Like, he just has this stupid grin. It looks awful.
Well, isn't that supposed to be a Dark Hawkeye who's actually Bullseye?
Oh, I guess.
That's what I've been told.
Okay, well, then that explains his dumb face. So I guess that this is the only actual Hawkeye. Because otherwise... you couldn't tell that this was Bullseye in Hawkeye's suit, except for his dumb, evil grin.
Yeah, I'm evil, Hawkeye.
Yeah, so he just looks like the Hawkeye looking dumb. So, but I guess it is Dark Hawkeye. So I was hunting around for the two-pack, just seeing it just like for $44 or more in some cases, and just being like, forget it.
Couldn't you see if I'm sure someone out there must have bought that two-pack only wanting Hawkeye, and I'm sure there must be...
Right. Well, a dude on Twitter who I don't have his name handy, but you know who you are. he kind of made that same point, so I thought, okay, well, I'll look on eBay then. And yeah, you could get Pile Drivers on eBay for like $5.
You should totally get Pile Driver.
Well, I did, and so that's another thing that I'm waiting on. I actually got a lot. I got a lot, so it's Pile Driver, Enchantress, and the Absorbing Man for $12.
That's pretty good. I think, were you the one on Twitter who said it? Because I kind of agreed with whoever said Pile Driver is probably the goofiest looking one of the whole Wrecking Crew.
Oh, I was saying, why is he so expensive? He's the most boring.
Yeah, because he's a dude. The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, his costume's like mostly white with some red, and like Thunderball comes with a weapon, and Bulldozer has his weird helmet,
mm-hmm.
and the Wrecker has his crowbar, and then there's Piledriver who's just hanging out.
Piledriver has his blonde coif that sticks out through the top of his spandex. That's his thing.
Yeah, people are like, dude, what's your gimmick?
And he's hair.
Like, just hanging out. So yeah, I got, I took the picture so I wouldn't forget anything, but then I almost forgot. I got, Reveltech Alien, like the first movie Alien.
Oh yeah, it's the one with the spines on the back that kind of get in the way of stuff.
Oh yeah, they get all in the way. it's really kind of remarkable how much improved the Alien Warrior is in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that that they even bothered packing in one of those orange boxes.
Yep.
Because it doesn't come with anything to keep in that box.
Well, no, the little stand that says Alien 1979 can go into that box. That's about it.
Well, I have plenty of figures that have loads of pieces from before they started doing those boxes. So I have a use for that box, all the same.
I always kind of joked that the intention was you're supposed to put the alien egg and the facehugger into the box, and then no one told the guys that the boxes are too small. But
well, I think they just made the box a standard thing.
Yeah.
So I'm sure somebody was like, hey, did anybody notice? I'm like, just don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Why are you always worried about stupid stuff? He's like, I was just trying to be useful.
He's probably the guy who told them they probably should just not bother making that Gigan because Bandai got Godzilla. And they're like, no, whatever. We're going to make Godzilla too. We're Reveltech.
Who do you think I am? But the big thing in this group, literally.
Hey!
The big thing is my first sideshow figure. My first 12-inch. My first 1/6 scale, however you want to phrase it.
Your first high-end figure?
Oh, yeah. High-end for a low-end price.
Hey, actually, you got high-end stuff. You got World War Robot Portable. That's high-end. That's higher-end than that.
Oh, that's the highest-end, if you ask me.
Oh!
But if we're going by a certain other podcast's definitions, this is probably closer to what they think high-end is, their twisted and deformed definition.
Oh.
See, that's how little regard I have for these people. I'm not even going to say the name of their show.
Good Lord.
I'll say the name of another podcast, Moonbase 2. I don't care. I'll say podcast names all the time.
WTFTFW. Smodcast. Yeah. Screen.com. Yeah.
Texzilla. Whatever. I don't care. But not these guys. Screw them. But anyway, so it's the Star Wars Princess Leia in Bosch disguise.
I saw you asking a whole lot of questions about this.
Yeah, because I was just kind of out of boredom, clicking around different sites, looking at these 12-inch figures and kind of looking through Star Wars figures and being like, oh, the Stormtrooper, I'm sure the Stormtrooper's awesome, but it's over $100, and oh, this is over $100, and I'm not really interested in this one that's over $100. And then I was on Amazon, and they had a bunch for $60, and then they had some for $85, because it's a bunch of different sellers. It's not like, hey, we're Amazon selling it. It's like, here's people we partner with.
Marketplace.
Right. So then I started asking, because I figured Empire.
Who's that?
Had it. He's a dude that's been on this show in the past.
Oh. I don't listen to his podcast. I don't know.
Yeah. But he's really into the Star Wars stuff. And he's got this buddy that's also into Star Wars a lot. And they're both kind of high-end dudes. And so I figured one of them had to have had it. And Empire was quick on the response. And it's like, yeah, it's an older figure. I mean, newer figures have more advancements, but she's pretty good. And I went, yeah, like, I really like that costume. It's probably my second favorite from Star Wars after Boba Fett. He goes, well, if you could find it for a good price. I'm like, well, these people have it for $60. He goes, that's really close to its original price, so it's worth it for that. And then I scroll down a little bit farther, and like, way down at the bottom, somebody was selling it for $35.
Oh! Like and unopened? Then, or open?
Yeah. Yeah, brand new.
Good Lord.
So I went, dude, $35. And he's like, yeah, now you have to. So I went for that. I haven't had a lot of time to mess with her just because my week has been so hectic.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just all stitched clothing that big, like, energy pike that she carried and a thermal detonator and some other bits that clip onto her belt. One thing that I don't care for is the canister backpack piece. There's some sculpted detail on her back that there's no clearance for on the backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And the peg for the backpack isn't very long. It's a pretty shallow peg. So it's already a shallow peg, and then you have this sculpted detail not letting you push it all the way flush. So it's just kind of very tenuously hanging on. And that seemed like something that shouldn't have been allowed to have happened.
That doesn't sound very high-end to me.
Right. Then the helmet actually does not go over the Princess Leia face. So she essentially has two heads.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so like that allowed them to sculpt the helmet kind of more accurately without worrying about having to let it slip over.
Mm-hmm.
Or put her hair in a way that doesn't look right because you don't want her hair sticking out the bottom of the helmet.
Yeah.
But then her actual face sculpt, it invokes Carrie Fisher, but it's not like with some of those Hot Toy figures where if you get them in the lighting just right, you would think you were looking at a photograph of the actual person.
Scarily realistic kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like when that first Joker figure was in the works, I was tricking people with pictures of that thing. Like, hey, check out this picture of the Joker from the movie. They're like, yep, that's the Joker. I'm like, guess what? That's a toy. And they'd be like, what? And then take a closer look and be like, oh, yeah, you can see the hair is weird. But damn. So there's no threat of that with this figure. But, you know, it looks Carrie Fisher-ish enough, I guess. But, I mean, you want that helmet anyway, though. I mean, that's the whole Bosch disguise is that helmet, really.
That's the money.
That helmet design's so great, they ripped it off in Star Trek. So,
oh. Lines drawn.
Yep, they had a whole race of aliens wearing helmets that were almost identical to that Bosch helmet.
Were they called, like, the Bosches?
No, they had a shorter name. Like, Bosches? I can't remember what they were now.
Like a Bosch.
But they were, like, they were on Deep Space Nine. They were like one of the Alpha Quadrant races. They were like supposed to be badass warriors and stuff. They were all really tall. It's like, Bosch is really tall. Bosch is Carrie Fisher's height. But, yeah. So that is my off-topic roundup for this week.
Alrighty. Gog, what about you? Did you go off-topic, or were you just so fixated on getting rid of Ironhide that you didn't venture forth from Transformers?
I guess a couple off-topic things.
Ah, alright.
You sound disappointed.
I don't know, I wanted to imagine this...
Like,
this,
man, he wasn't in such a depression that he stopped spending money altogether?
This weird, like, this obsession of, like, I hate this toy so much, I have to figure out how to get rid of it! And it's like the whole week just being this, like, I gotta... someone buy this for me!
I'd say, actually, the highlight of everything that I got is off topic.
Oof.
I got myself a Figma Metis, who is a female robot from the video game Persona 3 Fess.
Mm-hmm.
She is the quote unquote sister to Aegis, who I'm not sure how popular she is, but I've certainly talked about her on the show before because I've gotten the Aegis Figma as well.
Gunfingers.
Yes. Such an awesome design. I'd say Metis, from a design point of view, character design point of view, not quite as awesome as Aegis, but still pretty awesome. The figure does some really cool stuff. It's got a flip-down mask, which is made out of this translucent plastic, and it just works so well. All the characters in the game have joke weapons, which are not unuseful, but they're not anything special. They're just there kind of to be funny.
Yeah.
Aegis's joke weapon is a rocket punch. You know, obviously she's a Japanese robot. All Japanese robots have to have a rocket punch, right?
Hell yes.
So she has a kind of a jokey rocket punch optional weapon in the game. Metis doesn't use projectile weapons. She uses melee axe based weapons. So her joke weapon is she comes with a giant street sign, and it's more than hilarious to wield. And she also comes with a little, not really poseable, but the head rotates, but another character in the game, which is a dog by the name of Koromaru. And many people actually bought Metis
just to get Koro-chan. So, but really is a pretty outstanding figure. So Figma does good stuff. Much like Reveltech, I think it's kind of a shame that they're so pricey, because most of the Figma stuff is kind of like little anime girls, and I'm not into most of that unless it's a franchise that I really love. But when they do break away from that, they do catch my interest once in a while. But I was a big fan of the Persona games. I love Persona 3, so this was definitely a must get for me. I also got in the same order, because I'd gotten her from BBTS, along with the same order from Power Hug, and I had a third figure in that order as well. Mm-hmm. I got something that I had had my eyes on for a while, and finally went ahead and decided to get it, was the NECA April O'Neil from the comic Turtles line.
Oh, they actually made that. I never knew that came out. I assumed it was lost like the Shredder.
Oh, no. April was a... Was she... I always get confused, and I actually knew this, and I completely forgot. But I think... No, she was... They were multiple versions of April, and I think one of them was... Or at least it was planned to be a Comic-Con release.
Oh, right, right.
But anyway, but she comes with two Mousers, and I was a little disappointed because there was a SDCC two pack of Mousers, two or three pack, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Mousers that came standalone in their own pack had non-articulated jaws. Who the hell wants Mousers that can't open their mouths, like even in toy form? So one of the big draws was when they finally released April, she came with two Mousers with articulated jaws. Those Mousers are awesome. The only downside is one of them comes battle damaged, and it's molded with a leg that's detached.
Yeah.
So you have two Mousers with articulated jaws, and only one of them actually functions. The other one has no leg. So you can make it like hanging off someone with grabbing on by its arm and missing a leg, so it looks like even after getting its leg blown off, it's still clamping down on you. And you could actually modify it if you wanted to. I looked, because it has a peg hole, and the peg hole has like molded wires and stuff coming out of it, but you could totally shave part of the where the peg would normally be. It looks like gears and stuff, and you could totally like shave that down a little bit and make it a fully functioning Mouser, but then it's going to lose the molded detail for the battle damage effect. So
that sounds like a really cool package if you get those with.
It is. April's not amazing. She's definitely a... She has about the poseability, I'd say, of like an older Marvel Legend. So it's not horrible by any means. I was reminiscing about all the old prototype pictures we saw of the Shredder and the Foot Soldier. Mm-hmm. And finally I just said, screw it. I might as well get the only NECA Turtle figure that I haven't gotten that's still obtainable, and it's actually was really cheap. I think it was only like $15 from BBTS or something.
Yeah.
So with the Mouser, so and it's worth it just for the Mouser. So, I haven't had a chance to unpack my Turtle since I moved a couple months ago, but I need to do like a photo shoot now with some Turtles fighting off some Mousers.
My Mousers
are awesome.
My Turtles have been on the same shelf for the last like 3 years, and I really need to dust them off. I think they're I like them, but I got all the ones, you know, that were single blister packed with the red bandanas, so I put their base together and I just stood them there for a long time.
Yeah,
and I'm starting to clean up around here, and I looked at them and I was like, I need to get the feather duster out, I need to wipe them down, and I don't know, I gotta put them somewhere else because they've been out for too long. They need some love.
Yeah, those Turtle figures, man, they hold up. After all these years, these are still, I think even by NECA standards years later, those are still some of the coolest action figures I ever own. They're just so, so great.
I love those Turtles.
Yeah, the April's not as good, but she doesn't have to be. You're not posing her in ninja poses with swords. She's standing there trying to be saved from giant robots trying to bite off her ankles. Or not giant, but giant mouths trying to bite off her ankles. But, I also found on sale, one of my Targets actually put out a new wave of the Tron 3.5-inch figures, which I don't necessarily care about, except for they put out a Quora, which even
I'm
then
still
don't really
not sure how rare she. I saw one of her. I saw a Quora at the Superstore a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I was like,
"Well, down here, she's still pretty rare because most stores have stopped carrying that altogether."
Okay,
and I didn't even get her because she was rare. I got her because number one, she was on sale for like $4. And number two, it's Olivia Wilde. So now I can have this Olivia Wilde like
with a helmet on, so you can't. Yeah, see
with a helmet on. So, even at full price, I still think I would have passed. But for $4, I can have a helmeted Olivia Wilde. Not entirely sure why I want a helmeted Olivia Wilde, but I'm sure I'll find a reason one day.
I would pick one of those up for $4. No problem. Yeah. It's the fact that also when I saw it at the Superstore, they wanted still like $11 for it. And I was like,
if she was $11, I would have passed on her. Yeah. In fact, I passed on her at $4, walked around the toy section for a minute, and then said, why not?
But, there's nothing else here. Come on, masked Olivia Wilde. I'm taking you home.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, let's take a quick intermission, then we'll be back with some listener questions to finish off episode 155 of WTF at TFW, because I didn't get anything off topic this week myself, so, sucks. Intermission.
Oi! Come back and finish me off, ya wimp! What's the matter? Too spicy for ya!
Pepper Army. It's a bit of an animal.
We're back after that lengthy break, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to do some listener questions. I'm feeling ready for this. These being written listener questions, not voicemail listener questions. This first listener question comes to us from TX Grimlock, who asks four brief questions. Number one, what if Senator Ratbat starred in his own game where he fights Autobots with a proton cannon and a shark bazooka? Seth?
Yeah, probably wouldn't turn out very well.
Yeah,
what if, I don't know if you could really make a game out of that.
What if it was Kinect enabled?
Then I'm sure Aaron would be thrilled, flapping his arms around as though he was the bat.
All right, Gog, what about you? What do you think?
Maybe if it was like a free iPhone game, I'd get it. Yeah, there you go. Free iPhone games for everyone, starring Senator Ratbat.
I would play this game if it was designed by Peter Molyneux, is my answer to this question. Moving on to question number two. Who will win in the fight of the year? Sergeant Slaughter in a battle suit, Cup, Cobra Commander, and Grime Stone. I don't know who Grime Stone is. So my answer to that would, of course, be... and that's the one in there I think would win the fight. Gog, what about you? Who do you think would win in that fight?
I assume he's talking about Grimstone, but Grimstone is Dino Pope, right?
I think so.
Yeah, well, Dino Pope, duh. Everyone will just stare at him in awe from his radiance, from his Pope hat, and then he will pull out his holy rod, and which is a giant axe-like weapon, which is made out of solid gold, and he just beats them to a pulp while they pray. That's about it.
Good Lord. Well, Seth, what about you? Do you dissent or do you agree?
I dissent.
Oh.
Sergeant Slaughter knocks off the battle suit. Like, why is Sergeant Slaughter even in a battle suit?
I don't know, really. I'm guessing this is like
It's just going to hinder his range of movement.
I'm guessing
it's going to screw up all his articulation. I'm
guessing this is an injured Sergeant Slaughter?
Even injured Sergeant Slaughter could take on all three of them at the same time.
Would he put...
Just Cobra clutches for everybody.
Would he put them into a ditty bag?
Yep.
An itty-bitty ditty bag?
What about fat 70-year-old Sergeant Slaughter?
There's no such thing. That's an actor. Real Sergeant Slaughter's recuperating.
He's timeless. he's training the next batch of Joes or something.
He's training all the new ninjas and how to be ninja wrestlers. wielding assault rifles. Like,
and he won't be hypnotized by no Pope Glow, because Sergeant Slaughter comes from a non-denominational army.
He can be hypnotized by the Pope Glow.
That's the power of the Dino Pope's golden rod. Pope, what did you call it? The Pope Rod? The solid gold Pope Rod?
The Pope Glow?
Yes.
Oh, God.
So, moving on to question three, I suppose. This is a personal question to Vangelous. I saw that you answered a question from Formspring involving the Rosen Maiden Animu. Minus the sewing, is that what your life is like? As the main character's Chibi mode looks like shaved you. I actually don't know what Rosen Maiden is. There are many times where I answer questions on Formspring without actually knowing what I'm talking about. Unlike, you know, in real life, where I am always on the ball and ready with information. Sometimes I answer questions on Formspring with outright lies, because that's the art of Formspring. The art of Formspring is about quick, fluid answers, not so much truthful, accurate answers. That's my answer to that question. Gogdog, what do you think?
I'm more fascinated with the your name, Vangelous.
Yeah, that always happens. Everyone thinks there's an O. They always think there's an O. Not that European.
Why is shaved capitalized?
I'm guessing that's a name. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say.
Seth, what do you think? What do you think about this situation?
The question was completely directed to you.
Yes.
And I think you handled it appropriately.
You think that if this was a case of, like, you know, paparazzi speaking at a press conference, would this be put on YouTube, or would this be left alone with the rest of the answers until a...
I don't even know what this question's about.
Well, I don't either. But
what's happening? I don't know what Rosen Maiden is. I don't know what it has to do with any of you, any of your whole thing going on.
Didn't Popotan just come up on Twitter the other night?
Yeah.
What happened there? What was going on?
I wasn't involved in that one. That happened without me.
I was, last night on Netflix, I watched for the first time Being John Malkovich. Our friend Foster Logger tweeted to me that my recent choices in movies had been right up his alley. And so my response is, next stop, Popotan. to which someone on Twitter by the name of Kendra Kirai responded that she approved of my decision because Popotan was a cute little series. And hilarity ensued.
Popotan sure is a cute little series.
Yeah, Gogdog, you've been seeing a lot of stuff for the first time, including one of my all-time favorite movies, Reservoir Dogs. I totally want to hear what you thought about that.
We'll talk, yeah.
Well,
all right. Do follow Gogdog on Twitter if you'd like to provide your own suggestions for his Netflix queue,
or share your opinions of Popotan.
Yes. Moving into question number four, final question from TX Grimlock this week: what is Raph's sad story? A blood-ridden story, a sad little song. Oh, the songs! What have happened to him? Seth.
I wish my voice was better, and I wish I had more time to prepare, like the auto-tune.
I hadn't considered that as an option, but...
Because then I would just take the song My Name is Luca and replace Luca with Raph, but I'm not up for actually singing it right now. So just, you know, if you don't know that song, just, you know, do a Google search for, like, My Name is Luca lyrics, and just replace Luca with Raph, and there's your song.
All right. Well, Gogdog, what's your take on this?
We... I don't even know like what's happening from this guy. This guy is
operating on a higher level. That's all.
Mm-hmm. What is Raph's sad story? I think we've shared our take on that, or at least multiple takes on it. But
there have been a few.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know enough about Raph, and therefore it leaves Raph to our imagination. And when we have to imagine backstory for Raph, it's usually not very pleasant.
It's often very dark.
Yeah, we've shared that, and I'm waiting for the next nugget of information before we can extrapolate.
Well, there was that one time when Raph was very young. He went missing, and his mother didn't do anything to alert the police. And then when the police did find out there was a missing child, she kept making up different stories about what happened to him until he was eventually found. And it was just a very awkward situation in that family.
I'm glad I didn't have to partake in that, because, you know, I find those awkward situations very discomforting for me on a social level. But I hope that we answered your question properly there, TX Grimlock. We've also got a listener question from Riker Wota. I don't know what a Wota is, but I think Riker is pretty damn cool. I'm speaking, of course, of Jonathan Frakes, Commander William Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation, or TNG. Riker Wota's question is, quote, "For all the crew at WTF at TFW, a couple of listener questions for you to answer at your convenience. One, if you could choose two or more Transformers to take part in a grudge match arena combat, and assuming all things were equal, because scale is never a problem in the Transformers universe, who would it be and why? For example, my wife's favorite two Transformer characters are G1 Starscream and Beast Wars Dinobot, because of their strong antagonistic personalities. Seeing the two of them duking it out while trash-talking would be both exciting and brutal." So, who do you want to see fight under equal circumstances? Gogdog.
I want to see animated personality Vangelis fight animated Derek J. Wyatt.
I think I know who'd win that. I'm not going to say who. That's a spoiler for season 4. But, good answer. Seth, how about you? Who would you like to see fight?
Man. I think I would love to see Sky Gary versus Machine Wars Soundwave.
Any particular,
that would be pretty epic.
Any particular reason for Machine Wars Soundwave?
He was a helicopter.
That's an excellent reason, actually. There aren't enough helicopters in Transformers media.
Especially Soundwave ones.
Exactly. Yeah. I can see that
for
sure.
So you see, Soundwave is a great character. You're not going to find very many people that will disagree and say that Soundwave is not great. Mm. And helicopters are friggin' awesome.
That's true.
So clearly that makes him the best Soundwave. That's just math.
Well, I'm not a math major, so I can't really speak too much farther in any direction on that kind of equation.
And then Sky Gary is a Transformer named Gary. So come on.
I know. I should stop.
But other Transformers have human names. There's no Land Steve or Ocean Wilbur. No, there's only Sky Gary. Only Sky Gary.
Thought we weren't talking about Dark of the Moon spoilers in this episode.
What? Man, Steve?
Ocean Wilbur is a Dark of the Moon spoiler.
Oh, yeah, that was the
That was the thing Shockwave was riding around in.
That was Ocean Wilbur.
I thought Ocean Wilbur was the transforming aircraft carrier.
That's right. Oh, you mean the aircraft carrier that was in the water that had all the jets on it?
Yeah.
No, that was Water Gary. Water Gary gets up to all kinds of deals he doesn't like to talk about. I would like to see any two alternate characters fight, because I want to know what that looks like. That's my answer to that question. Question number two. I have always considered the Rebirth series to be a fitting finale to the Transformers tale, but have often wondered just what might have happened afterwards, especially to connect...
Oh, damn it. I knew it. I knew it.
What?
Machine Wars Soundwave was not a helicopter.
Uh-oh.
It was a big missile tank thing. Damn it.
That's the best kind of...
I was screwing it up.
That's the best kind of helicopter, is the one that's not even a helicopter.
I knew I was screwing that whole thing up. Somebody was a helicopter in that, though.
Sandstorm, I think, was a helicopter. I think. I'm not sure.
Damn it.
But, you know, hindsight is always more accurate. So let's continue on.
He was an H tank, and everyone knows those are the most awesome tanks.
That's why there's so many of them.
And he had a giant missile. So, of course, he would fight Sky to the death.
It's obvious.
I knew I was screwing up.
Anyway, as the question had stated before, quote, I have always considered the Rebirth series to be a fitting finale to the Transformers tale, but have often wondered just what might have happened afterwards, especially to connect the G1 and Beast Wars universe. So discounting the Japanese cartoon continuity and comics, how would you connect the dots if the story was left to you to tell in an animated series? Thank you in advance for answering these questions, and keep up the good work, colon, right parentheses. So, GogDog, what's your answer to that question?
Well, I'm looking at the picture that Seth just showed us of a Machine War Soundwave, and I bet you in that H-tank mode that if that missile spun around fast enough, it would probably work as a helicopter.
If you pointed the missile thruster sideways?
Mm-hmm.
But his little that would knock his little radar dish off.
You don't need that when he's flying around,
I guess.
And nobody uses radar when you're flying. I mean, come on, you're above everything. Yeah.
It's his only weakness, because when he's on the ground, he can detect the planes above. Mm-hmm. But then, if he wants to go up and join him, he has to remove that capability permanently.
That's cold.
It's deep. That's some deep fiction. Possibilities. Oh man, somebody tell Josh Burcham to get on this right now. What was the question again?
Always considered connect the reverse
I remember now. I don't know. I mean, Rebirth is okay. I mean, it's easy to say that the Japanese did it better, but they had three full-length series instead of, like, however many episodes Rebirth had, like, two or four. I can't remember off the top of my head. Not many. how would I connect the dots? I don't know. I mean, the thing is like, no offense to you, Riker Woda, but this is a question that just gets asked a lot. Like, what would you do after G1, and of course, you know, there's Beast Wars, but I don't know. I'm not a writer, but I wouldn't mind seeing a story of how the Maximals and the Predacons were formed, or at least not even necessarily a story, but just some vague fiction that would help bridge that for sure. But I mean, that whole universe is so long gone. I mean, yeah, IDW has a G1 series going on right now, but it's the IDW-verse. It's not, has nothing to do with this. So, I mean, this generation just seems to be so far gone right now that it's like, well, whatever. And the people who wrote it probably wouldn't be any of the people that had anything to do with that stuff originally. I mean, that would be cool if, like, Bob Forward and the Beast Wars guys could be involved in that or something along those lines. As far as maybe seeing like some club fiction come out, not really. I don't really want that. But if they could get a hold of like Bob Forward or somebody to write like a little club thing, that might actually be kind of interesting. But whatever. Like I said, it's a question that comes up a lot, and it's
it's kind of, I just think that ship has sailed, to be honest. It's been way too many years.
All right. But Seth, what about you? Do you think that ship has sailed, or do you think that that boat is still in dock?
Yeah, I don't really know anything about the Rebirth storyline, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I really have anything meaningful to say about it. But like, was part of his question like, what would we do with a post G1 story? Or
yeah, what would we do with a post G1?
I don't know, because that kind of assumes that you're not using any of those characters, unless you wanted to kind of spin off, like where you think it would have gone,
shake things up a bit.
Yeah, from there, and like just keep pushing it into the future from that point, like where G1 left off, or I don't know if he wants us to go into another, you know, era of Transformers. I'm not sure. I mean, I kind of have
hello.
I kind of have this idea about like kind of my own take on the whole kind of G1 thing, like timeline, that it might be interesting if I ever got around to writing it up someday, but I don't know if I ever will. But it doesn't really kind of go too far past what people would consider PG1.
That's kind of my own position. I made up the story in my head for what could happen between things, and I want it to be all about like everything breaking down and no one remembering the Deconstruction of Falling Stars style of like jumping ahead enough hundreds of years for most of the stuff from G1 to just be like historical rhetoric that people argue about or twist for their own kind of political whatever. That's what I want out of a post G1 series. I want to jump ahead, make things get crazy, and have lots of deeply flawed characters. That's what I want. Anyway, we have totally lost Seth to a Skype meltdown, so we're going to end this here. I just want to throw one more thing out before we stop. I want to say there is a really cool Transformers mosaic out there that has Omega Spream in it, and I've been linked it like 50 times. So it is very cool, although I will say that I don't agree with the idea of Spream being the original version of Omega Supreme, because that is downplaying the magnificence of Spream, in my opinion.
Well, if you got tweeted this like 50 times, is this something that's new then?
Yeah, it just came out of, I'm guessing, like last week or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And oddly enough, I don't have a link handy. But I can go dig in my Twitter after we're done here. But it's a cool mosaic, and I appreciate the inclusion of Spream, but I also kind of don't, I have always preferred the idea of Spream being a completely separate entity from Omega Supreme. So I have my own little storyline qualms, but they're by no means meant to be a criticism of the comic book. I quite enjoyed that mosaic. But anyway, that's all we got for this week. So thank you for listening. Thanks to Seth and Gog for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome.
No problem. Why isn't Seth saying you're welcome? It's just uncool.
You're welcome.
Oof. What's going on down there? It was Jason Statham. So we'll be back next week with our season finale, our third year episode 156, and then the Odd Number team will be back for our season premiere of our fourth season, if you will, episode 157. So look forward to that. Maybe something cool will happen around the time of 156. I'm not sure, but we'll see. Until next time. Stay toasty, stay frosty, stay warm, stay cold, stay sexy, stay Batman,
stay flexy.
And then, like, G1 history is all twisted, and so Megatron was never, like, the megalomaniac villain. He was actually kind of a sensible centrist, but once the Autobots won the war, they wrote history to make Megatron sound like this horrible, evil person. There's a problem with this call. Hold on while we try to get it back. Okay, I'm holding on. Hold on for one more day. Hold on for one more day. Things will go your way. Hold on for one more day. Break free, break from the chains.
Well, you know I'm certain. Hold on for one more day. Break free, break from the chains.